This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi there.
Hello.
What are you laughing at, friend?
You happen to have your Christmas card facing me. I just glanced up and looked to the right. I believe you got that last week, but it was looking at me today. There it is, no, Mojo.
Last week.
Or is that new?
Last week, I received a condolence card
from
Mojo about the passing of my father.
Yes.
This would be the card for all of us, which is why I placed it there so you could see.
Did you do that on purpose?
I did.
You got me.
I know where
you look. Because I swear to God, I did not look at that until the mics opened. I swear to God.
And now that you've seen it, Mike, take a closer look.
Let me take a closer look at Mojo.
Look at the photo that this guy, Morris Jones, famous TV newsman,
our friend,
has selected for his seasonal photograph. First off,
what
I
is he
say
thinking?
Something.
What is
I
he
want to
thinking?
Say something.
Well, go ahead.
Members jackets only. Never. Members only jackets.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. This isn't even a members only jacket. This is a This is a jacket that you'd see like on the streets of Hong Kong. This is not a jacket that Americans wear.
Maybe that's where he is.
What the hell is he doing?
It's kind of a disco retro. Shiny jacket.
And he's got a backpack on.
And he only has the two bottom buttons bottomed. It's like an old-time shiny, satiny baseball jacket.
And he's had it taken in front of the cherry blossoms down, obviously, at the Tidal Basin here in Washington, D.C. That's where he's had his picture taken. And he's either got black stripes on that or he's wearing some sort of backpack. And I'm going to opt for the latter. I think it's a backpack that he's wearing.
And with no offense to the great Morris Jones from Sinclair Broadcasting, as he's standing in this photo, and he has each of his thumbs hanging... Hooked on his pockets. It could be a photo...
Actually, it's not a backpack. I think it's the striped shirt that he's wearing. The jacket.
That photo, standalone, could be like on a gay website. Hi. My name is this guy.
It's just,
and I like this stuff.
I saw it 3 feet away, and it just jumped off the card at me. Here's Mojo. Mojo just staring at me here.
Looking
phenomenal, though. I mean, really, nobody has blacker hair.
But he never forgets. And, you know, I think that might be the only celebrity Christmas card we get now, because I don't think we got one from Julio last year.
Whoa.
So we're down to
no
more.
Julio Iglesias?
We didn't get one last year. We got our fingers crossed for this year.
What channel is Morris Jones on, anyway?
I think you can sometimes see him on WBFF Channel 45.
In Baltimore.
May I put it up on my wall here?
Please do, Mike.
I think you should.
I'm thrilled with this.
Do we need a tack?
It's a card for all of us. Please read the inside.
Sorry, I was being selfish.
Read the first card of the year.
All right, well, on the outside, season's greetings, and you open the card up. Hi, guys.
Hi, Morris.
Here's wishing you and all the staff a very Merry Christmas, your pal, Morris Jones. He does not disappoint.
He does not.
I love this guy.
Yeah.
Good, nice guy.
All right, where'd I put my...
Merry Christmas, Mojo.
Did you lose the tack?
I lost it. Oh, no, it is. I got it right here.
He's a swinger, right?
He's a single successful... Is he single?
I just remember...
Have we ever found out whether he was single or not
from that photo?
He was single when we last saw him, and remember, he smelled of talcum powder.
He's an interesting cat.
There is
no doubt about that. He is a truly interesting cat.
And here's something you're not going to like, Rob.
What?
Throughout the show when I ask, you know, hey, Rob.
Hey, Don.
It's a rhetorical question, but you know time it is?
What time is it?
It's Obama time.
Oh, stop that. Stop that right now.
What time is it?
It's Obama time.
That's right.
You know, I knew you were a Hillary backer, but of course now that Oprah has come out with this incredible groundswell of support for Obama.
Right.
You've changed your vote now, right?
No.
I thought you buy all of Oprah's books?
Mike.
You buy all the books in the book club?
I'm one of her angels.
Oh, you're an Oprah's angel.
Here's the problem. I'm one of Oprah's fallen angels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I'm just hoping if I vote for Barack Obama that because Oprah is backing him that I might get like a free refrigerator.
It's Obama time!
Tell me, baby.
Hey, listen, for an opening tape today, we've selected from yesterday's Patriots game, Jim Nance, really getting mad at the guy that guaranteed the victory. It's about 60 seconds long, and it's about as agitated as you'll hear Nancy get during a game. He calls the guy stupid.
Oh, this is early in the game, right?
Wow. No, this is late in the game.
Is this late in the game?
This is late in the game.
He was talking about the guy all the way through.
When the Patriots have already beaten the guy for two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here he is. Jim Nance. Let's start today. It's a build, but it's Nance really having a hissy fit.
Good. Okay.
You got to love her.
Well, I say I think he'll walk away with a lot of regret because some of his teammates actually thought this was a win-win situation for him. That's what started the whole deal right there. But, you know, talking to some of the Steelers, they actually, in trying to stand up for their teammate, you know, they would say things like, well, what do you want to say? Sure, we're going into a game. We think we're going to win. We're not going to say we're going to lose. But as you said to me last night, this was only the 8 trillionth time somebody came out with a guarantee. It is so old. It is so unoriginal.
Here he goes.
And it is so stupid, really, to say something like that in this day and age.
Yeah, it is. And but what really got you riled up is what?
One of the players said, hey, he's been on ESPN all week.
It's a win-win.
Give me a break. I mean, this self...
It's going to be on this week.
Self-aggrandizing day of the modern-day athlete. Just because you say something dumb and it gets you on TV a lot, it's not win-win. You've been made a fool today right here by Tom Brady.
Whoa, right. Oh.
Hey, how about Nancy?
You know what needed to be said? Good man. Good man. I like Jim Nance.
How about
That's good.
You know what? Hey, you've been made a fool today by Tom Brady, who is simply... the handsomest quarterback I've ever had the pleasure of covering.
You know, since Tom Brady, let me tell you something, guys, grew his hair out, I have to tell you, he's so much more handsome than he was before.
You're right, Jim.
Jim, and I like Phil. Kudos to Phil Simms for trying to ramp Jim up a little bit there.
Yeah.
Of course, it took Tom Brady, what 8 minutes to show this guy up, you know, 2 touchdowns in the 8 minutes. It was something ridiculous like that.
You know, guys, it's very cold here today, but not me. I am hot under the collar.
That's stupid. That's dumb.
That is dumb. That's really stupid.
Self-aggrandizing.
Well, it's not a win-win, Phil Simms.
He trips over it as well.
Yes, he does. It's hard to say.
And what's great
self-aggrandizing.
Is he breaks his own cardinal rule. It's as the play is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Nance is letting his rant slip into the next play.
Little window into the soul of one Jim Nance there. You know, he doesn't like the trash talking. Doesn't like it at all.
I apologize, guys. I got 2 verbose. Look at this red vest.
Hey, how about the outfit that Phil Simms was wearing? What the hell was that? He looked like Mr. Mongorian's Wonder Emporium.
Hey, guys,
I mean, with the yellow shirt.
Phil is colorblind.
Guys.
He sure looked it yesterday. You know, you really, really can't miss with a bright yellow dress shirt.
Yeah.
A bright yellow dress shirt really brings it home, especially during the holidays.
When you got the canary blonde white hair and you've got
that albino
look. Almost albino. You know, he's got that look.
He just didn't look good.
He makes Boomer Esiaas look like Fabio.
Yeah. He should wear muted tones.
Right.
You know? Because when you wear the bright colors, your face ends up looking like a wall that's been painted flat white.
Mm-hmm. Someone should put him in earth tones.
That's absolutely. Right. Something a little more subtle.
You dressed really stupid, Phil.
That was the game of the day, guys.
You know, excuse me, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got to start. I wish that someday there would be some way that we could find out information like this through our computers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like about Phil Simms or about Jim Nance or... about imagine this a day when you could pay bills with your computer. Can you imagine
that'd
that
be
day?
Nice.
Well, right here in the year 1972.
I can't wait for that.
In 1972, we're telling you it's possible. Please listen.
Fingertip shopping will be one of the many homemaker's conveniences. This video console will be channeled into the store of her choice. There, a camera will scan a display of where.
This is from a little collection, 25 years from now.
It's a good one.
So in 1972.
I like this one.
Roughly 25 years ago. Uh-huh. It is called Computers of the Future.
Wow. Oh, good.
25 years from now.
In the last few months, we had 3 different recognitions. Where...
That was some German guy.
That scares me a little.
That was a German guy talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the German that hates Scientology.
I like it.
Here is...
What time is it?
It's Obama time!
All right. You be quiet, Rob. Okay. 1972, computers.
Fingertip shopping will be one of the many homemaker's conveniences. This video console will be channeled into the store of her choice. There, a camera will scan a display of wares, which she will select by push button.
I guess they're showing it now.
We're scanning.
But another part of this console is a household monitor screen.
It's a
which maintains
thing.
A watch on critical areas in the house, swimming pool, or yard.
Hey, you know what?
What?
This music makes me want to have sex.
What the wife selects on her console will be paid for by the husband at his counterpart console. All bills and transactions will be carried out electronically.
Even in the 70s, it was still set up that way. Daddy would pay.
A central bank computer will debit the family's account the amount of purchases and credit the department store, for example, informing the family's home computer at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't believe
it. Wish I knew the name of the narrator. It's a famous narrator.
The father, at the touch of a button, receives an instantaneous printed copy of his budget, the amount of taxes he owes, the payments left on the car, and so forth.
I don't believe this will ever happen.
Documents and household records are available on the video screen for immediate reference.
You're kidding.
It's crazy talk.
Also at his disposal is an electronic correspondence machine, or home post office, which allows for instant written communication between individuals anywhere in the world.
That's dreaming, man.
What are you, high?
To maintain these and hundreds of complex electronic circuits, a monitor checks all circuits every few seconds, inserts a backup circuit if and when trouble develops, and alerts the communal service agency for replacement.
Dun dun.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
That's pretty good. I like that.
That's actually pretty good. We've got four or five of those.
And that's they knew what they were talking about back in 72.
That were actually in some sort of time capsule somewhere where they actually recorded these things, what we think. And a lot of them, like, email coming true.
Yeah.
Except it's funny. You got to see the video. It's on YouTube. The way that it's set up is so, even though it's 1972, it's so
right.
50s, it's like...
It sounds 50s.
Mom will make the purchases, and they show the mom in a store with a shopping cart while dad pays. And dad's sitting in front of one of those things, like in the movies when you wanted to look at old newspapers,
yeah.
And you got that gigantic screen with the microfilm.
Oh, yeah, okay, like we used to have in school.
Uh-huh. Dad's sitting in front of one of those jobbers right, as mom's making her purchase, and it doesn't go through until dad says... Okay.
Wouldn't that be great?
If only.
If only that was the way it really worked. It's pretty good, though, for 72 because, you know, 25 years ago, people were saying, oh, what's this World Wide Web?
Oh, you know, we've not started the show. What time is it?
Wow. It's Obama time!
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's just do it. Say it, baby.
We need Barack Obama.
Matt Lauer, what would you like us to do?
Well, you're not supposed to spank it.
It's Obama time!
I can't believe it. These guys are fags.
Hi there.
These kids are fags. I can't believe it. Well, now, God damn it, they're fags.
Yeah, we are.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
We try to be.
And as for my clothes, well, you happen to have caught me in a moment of self-pleasure. I appreciate your discretion. That will be all.
Why men's rooms?
Well, they're comfortable.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Good. Oh, hi, Buzz.
Hi. I'm the oldest man in the world.
And for many of our listeners...
Being careful, it's very important to me, because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
That was not funny. Don't you stop laughing. That ain't funny.
Here's our phone number, everybody.
Let's pick a phone, and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
As long as we heard a little bit of it about, how about Germans who hate Scientology?
In the last few months, we had three different recognitions where we fully accepted as a church. That was in Sweden, in Spain, and in Portugal. Why can we do not do the same thing in Germany?
In Berlin, the politicians have the feeling that Scientology is trying to have an impact, to influence policies within Germany in a way that is not considered to be their business.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
Look at Ron. Bob laughing back there. Donnie loves that.
It's Obama time.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, it is.
How about you? Are you happy?
I'm not happy.
How about you, Whoopi? How are you?
I'm horny. You're horny. Come on, let's go do it.
Hi, Whoopi.
We need Barack Obama.
No, you know what we need?
What glorious goo.
Yeah, right, right.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Here we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Don and Mike show. Start with Tavares and hope you had a good weekend. Our phone number, same as it was last week, 877-365-3636. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, how
Hello.
Are you?
What's happening? Hi.
Hi there.
I actually have two questions for you.
You what? What, darling?
I have two questions for you.
Ah, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. My first question is, you're awfully funny, aren't you, the woman in your intro? What is that from?
You're what? You're awfully funny.
You're awfully funny, aren't you?
You're awful funny, aren't you? Right.
Sounds old.
Some cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a cartoon? Okay. And then my other question is, I'm getting a really nice Christmas present from my boyfriend. Do you have any ideas on what I should get him?
Guess how big it is. It's the size of a stick of butter.
Gee. You know, I think really it doesn't have to be a possession.
Right.
It can be a service.
Sweet. I'm completely down with that.
But yeah, so to speak.
A promise of a daily service.
Yeah, for a month.
Okay.
For a life, for a year.
For a year.
For a year.
For a year.
Oh, it better be a good gift.
It's a really good gift that I'm getting. So maybe I'll give him 5 years
every day. What are you getting?
I'm getting a ring.
Like for an engagement ring?
I'm not sure yet. He hasn't asked me. I just know we're going to get sized for it.
Oh. So. Will you be thrilled if it is an engagement ring?
I don't know if
what
I'll
if it's
be
a,
thrilled.
What if it's a,
wow.
Look at that.
I'd be really what if, happy. I'm perfectly content the way we are. I don't think we need to.
Well, for God's sakes, have you shared that with him?
What if he's getting a penis ring?
Oh, yeah. He knows. He and I are both on the same page as far as that's concerned, but I don't know what his intention is.
When you said you would promise that for 5 years, you don't want to make that go any longer than the marriage. So
You
may want to slack off just a little
conditional.
Bit.
Conditional.
Because it's going to be very awkward to continue doing that after the divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. I understand completely.
But you're happy. You're satisfied. Just pass that along to him.
How long have you been cohabitating?
3.5 years.
Sinner!
Oh, that's good, though. She's a good sinner. That's good. You two crazy kids are happy.
Oh, God, yeah. Happier than I've ever been.
Okay. Oh, good.
All right. Well, then,
don't mess it up.
Maybe he's just giving you a friendship ring.
You know, one can only hope.
You got a little lung congestion there, sweetheart?
Yes, a little bit.
Thank you for the call, honey. I knew a guy who was a bit of a player.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, this is a long time ago. This guy really would buy rings, not cubic zirconia, but nice rings, like $100 rings.
Right.
Would buy them in gross, like 20. Mm-hmm. And he'd be going out with these chicks, and he would say to them, "You mean a lot to me." And he'd give them the little box, and he would say, "You know what this is? This is not an engagement ring. It doesn't mean that we're together forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is simply a friendship ring."
Oh, a friendship ring.
A friendship ring.
The friendship
it's good
ring.
Good to have friends.
That's back in the 70s.
Well, I'm telling you.
70s and 80s. The friendship ring.
Uh-huh. It worked.
It was like way back when, before even I went to school. It predated my time, but they pinned people. It was like a pre-engagement.
This was something that was done by a grown man. I'm old enough to remember when I went to high school, ridiculous. You had, you know, talking about babies having babies and just promoting that whole thing. You had an entire philosophy based around it was okay to give, like, a girl in 10th grade a pre-engagement ring.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You go
crazy.
Out, you go to the jewelry store, you buy, like, a $100 ring, you give it to her, and in essence, she's already got you.
Well, didn't you have the couples in your high school that were, you know, just rushing it? You know, that were like the old married couple by their junior year.
Right.
It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and you know, I think that we all, those of us that did not have girlfriends that were that serious looked at guys like that and were kind of jealous simply because they were usually, at least when I went to high school, very active.
Yeah, they were getting
They were getting it like a married couple.
Yeah, but this guy that I'm talking about with these rings, his name I think was, his DJ name was Ray Bones. And
Michael Scott Bones?
Ray Bones.
Oh, Ray Bones. Okay.
No, it wasn't Shannon. Okay. It really wasn't.
It sounds pure Shannon. Sounds exactly like Shannon.
Really, he would buy 20 of these pretty expensive rings.
It's an investment.
20.
Because he got them cheaper and he knew he was going to have 20 relationships
and he'd
during
go out,
the year.
He'd go out with a girl and he'd find her. He'd want to keep her on a string. So he'd give her the friendship ring. And then when he would break up with them, he would say, well, listen, why don't you keep that? It was just a friend because, you know, we're going to be friends. And
right.
It was a great way around it.
Did he have a lot of former relationships that were friends?
No.
Or did...
No, he didn't
have any of them. They all walked away.
Good on paper.
That's pretty good.
I think basically what happened was he would find these women.
DJ, right?
Yes.
Of course.
He'd find them. He'd bang them a couple of times.
Sure.
Then he'd say, you know, you mean so much to me, but I really can't make a commitment to you. Why did you accept this? And she'd look at it like she's the only girl that he's ever thought about getting this thing for.
Were the rings identical?
Yes.
Well, I guess a ring is a ring.
Like,
you know?
A
I mean, a ring is a ring. But I just would imagine that if these women ever somehow bumped into one another, you know, while he was around, it could cause a little bit of a trouble.
Not a chance. I believe that they were mainly like meat market types.
Ah, so they came from different areas.
All I know is that he had a box of rings.
Wow.
That's funny. You got to get them cheaper that way.
Friendship rings.
Uh-huh. You're a very good friend.
And a lot of it would be if he was banging a girl and starting to lose her. It'd be a way
if he liked what he had, he wanted to keep her around.
Keep her around for a while. Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Hello, hi.
Hello. How you doing?
We're doing great. How about you?
This is your DHL driver who comes up and down Main Street to your, what is it, 10800?
You're over in Fairfax?
I'm in Fairfax. Yeah, I'm your faithful driver. I just got to put on to you by another employee. That guy's a wonderful.
Well, I think he's saying we're wonderful.
Well, Steve just got a package that came in.
Okay.
It's called Teabagging to the Oldies with Richard Simmons.
You know, you're really amusing somebody there, but you're speaking in such fragments, it's hard to understand what you're trying to say.
Oh, he just got this,
What kind of phone are you using?
Hey, what time is it?
It's Obama time!
A T-Mobile phone.
Oh,
you're in a big metal.
You know how that is.
You're in a big metal truck, right?
Yeah, big metal truck. Mm-hmm. With a lot of other retarded stuff in the back.
Right, you're in a big metal truck. You're not in handcuffs in the big metal truck, are you?
No.
Okay, just making sure. All right, my friend.
Well, Rob, appreciate your gift.
Love it. Yeah.
Okay, see you.
Don't
make me and Mike go freestyling on your ass again.
Holla.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Howdy.
Hey,
hello.
Guys.
Hi.
There was one thing you guys didn't point out about the game with Pittsburgh and New England yesterday.
Yeah.
Late in the third quarter, when Tom Brady missed Randy Moss across the middle in the end zone, the ball went through his hands. And I'm not kidding. Phil Simms said he gave him the high, hard one. And he couldn't handle it.
No, you're right. I heard it. Absolutely. I laughed out loud. Good call by you. Yeah. That's just what Phil Simms said.
Didn't know if you could pull that audio. It was classic, though.
Yeah, it was good. Thank you.
They were both gay for Brady. I guess all announcers are gay for Brady now when he's in a game.
Well, GM. He gave him the high, hard one.
Nobody throws the ball like that. You know, people say it's easy, just throwing a crossing pattern like that. It's not easy at all.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, fellas.
Hi there.
Hey, I'm surprised you didn't recognize the voice of Alexander Scorby, isn't it?
On which tape?
When you're playing the tape of 25 years from now.
Is that the announcer?
Is that who it is?
Is that who
is
it was?
Is that Alexander Scorby that did all the National Geographic?
You know what? You're right. And that's exactly where I knew him from. He did the National Geographic specials, too.
Isn't that 35 years ago, though, now?
That's back
72?
In the...
You know, maybe you're right. I don't know. It just came to us under label of 25 years ago.
I think it's back in the David Walper days, you know, and
Anyway, good call on that. I wouldn't have known that if Mike hadn't said the National Geographic guy.
Yeah, and then that's what I was thinking. He sounded like a famous narrator. I think he's the National Geographic guy, but that's the guy that would always, you know, he'd always narrate the different tribes.
Why is it that I felt like I was watching porno? I'm so glad I thought of this. On Saturday, I was watching the National Geographic channel on the high def channel.
Yeah, they have some very good stuff on there.
Yeah. It was about reproduction, and it was all about everything that she's got going on down there.
Sure,
and everything that we got going on down there.
Did you learn anything new?
I found it fascinating. But when Janet walked in the room, I had the look of guilt.
He had to turn it off quickly.
She's like, what are you watching? Nothing! Nothing! Nothing!
Same kind of thing. You know, if there's content that you were just really enjoying yourself, that's what you did, you know?
You know, they go down the fallopian tube. They got a camera that's going down there. They're showing the egg. They're showing, and it, you know, looks like a big pus-filled pimple that's waiting to bust through. Uh-huh. Oh, fascinating stuff.
Last night, I you know how when you put on that channel guide and you can keep the little program up in the upper right-hand corner
so
you can watch? But you're going to the guide because you're bored with what's on.
But you still get to watch the TV in the corner.
You still get to watch the TV.
Right.
And I'll have that up in the upper right-hand corner as I'm going through the guide very fast. And I changed the channel. We were watching Dexter on Showtime, and then I guess a promo for the L Word, that lesbian show, came on, and they were doing they had this lesbian scene up in the corner, and Carla noticed that I had stopped moving through the guide because I wasn't watching anything in the guide, like, to select our next channel. I was focused in the upper right-hand corner, and there was really no commentary made whatsoever. I just got the backhand in the shoulder, and she said, hey. That's all it was, hey. And I knew exactly what I was doing because it was a pretty provocative little teaser that they were given for the L Word. I never watched that show, but this looked pretty good. And then I moved on.
A lot of
I
that.
Moved on to whatever else was on. Yeah, cable's been horrible lately,
I came
too.
Running out of the room, and I said, it's Inside the Uterus.
I mean, see you
that was the
that.
Name of the show.
Uh-huh. Was that really the name of it, Inside the Uterus?
It was Our Reproductive System.
Wow.
A half hour about the uterus and then a half hour about sperm and where it goes.
Fair enough.
It was great.
Was it hosted by the same guys that do Inside the NFL?
You know, I do like that National Geographic channel, but I've never seen that one. I hope they run it again.
They will.
I'll be looking for it. Did you log the whole time? Did you stay with it all day?
60 minutes, Mike.
Very good.
First for her pleasure, and then for my pleasure.
Good for you.
Now, about the weekend.
Good for you.
I do have to tell you about something that happened in Costco, in the parking lot at Costco. Now, I am just a participant. Jan and I are going to pick some stuff up, and she says, come on, be a pal, go to Costco with me. And I'm dragging my heels the whole way. Like, not on a weekend.
Right.
She says, just be my buddy, you know, sit in the car. Okay, I can do that.
Not a bad deal.
We find the spot. She says, I'm going to run right in. I'll run right back out. True enough, she's in and out 10 minutes. She gets backed by the car, and I notice that there is something going on. She's speaking to somebody behind the car.
There's a bit of a moment happening.
Yeah. I get out of the car, and I simply observe. I see Janet saying to someone, as the woman's walking away, just explain it to me. Just explain it to me. And there are people standing around looking.
Sure.
So you're not really that focused on it, so you're coming in late to the party. So you, at this point, don't know what's going on.
Right. Janet's saying to a woman who's walking away from her, just explain it to me. And the woman turns around and says, blah, 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 blah. And I say, what is going on? Because meanwhile, there are people who are waiting.
Gathering.
People are doing, no. Watching. The people in the parking lot have the blinkers on.
Oh, you get a choice space. You have a choice space.
Yeah, we got a real good spot. They're like making dibs on the spot.
Right. Hate that at Costco. But, I mean, it's the number one parking lot for them.
And we are having some sort of UN meeting in the back of this car.
She sounds upset?
Yes. Now, what happens is I'm standing there, and Janet says, I'm so tired of this. And I say, what are you talking about? She said, she's one of the card people. And I said, what is a card person? And she said,
the checks your card?
No. C-A-R-D. She said, these people have never come up to you in Costco's parking lot? And I said, no. And the woman is still standing at this point, about 5 feet away, almost waiting for me to be judge and jury on whatever has transpired.
Right.
What are the card people?
Here's what it is.
She has a card that says, hello, I'm new in this country. I don't speak English. I have X number of children. Can you please give me some money? Okay.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
Card people.
No, Janet says, generally speaking, she'll either, if she's in the mood like most of us, slip them a buck or walk by. She said the woman stood there giving her the card, and Janet said, no, thank you. And then when Janet said, no, thank you for the third time, Janet said, excuse me, but I have to know, if you have a card that says you have no money and you don't speak the language, why, and you need donations, why do you have a Louis Vuitton purse on?
Wow, that's pretty confrontational.
And I said to Janet, I'm standing there, and I'm now sizing up the card lady, right?
Yeah.
And I look back at Janet, and I go, well, how do you know it's not a knockoff?
Right.
And she says, well, trust me, it's not. She said,
It's a real Louis Vuitton?
She says, I know enough about it. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, the woman with the card, at this point, she's kind of nodding like, yeah, it is real.
Wow.
Now, she didn't want to.
I think you're on to something.
The lady with the card didn't want to say anything. She just wanted to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And Janet's point was, as she stood at the back of our car with the trunk open, she was just standing there saying to the lady over and over again, just explain that to me. Explain it to me how it is that you're begging for money while you have a Louis Vuitton purse.
Well, she can't explain it because she doesn't speak English.
Right.
So you say.
So I say. That's right. I know. Right. If, you know, who knows? So she's got the $1,000 purse.
Not really much of a story there. I mean, I asked. Like,
well, who won?
Well, nobody won because I said to Janet, get in the freaking car.
Let's go.
You know. Meanwhile, people that were walking around, the thought seemed to be, well, yes, it. Even if it's a knockoff, you know what? It's a goddamn nice fancy purse.
Yeah. And, I agree.
And you're begging for money outside you're Costco.
No matter whether you have a card or not, I've never heard of it, but it's panhandling, and you know, it's that type of thing.
Maybe that's why she's broke. She bought the purse.
That's because she takes her money that she gets and may, you know, who, you know, when you give money to somebody like that, you never know where the money's going
to
go.
Maybe someone gave it to her. Maybe she got it at a secondhand thrift shop, something like that.
Yeah, because that's what they sell there. Is Louis Vuitton purses. I mean,
Costco their stomping ground? I mean, are these parking lots where I've never seen that?
You know what?
Before.
It would be a hot place for a panhandler.
Jan said at the
end. A lot of cash transactions, so people have money.
Where we were in Sterling, Virginia, that one.
Wow.
That it happens all the time.
I mean, I see out here, we got the real deal out here. Some of these guys, you know. I mean, these guys that stand on the median here in Rockville.
Veterans.
I mean, there's no Louis Vuitton there.
Hey, listen, I go to stores. I see MTV Cribs, okay? And I'm telling you, this was not like just a little carry-on thing.
Yeah, but you're right, even if it was a knockoff.
This was a big-ass thing that had that big LV all over it, and she was standing there saying to me, Janet was saying to me, well, first off, look at the leather. This is how close the woman was to us. She was saying, well, look at the leather. Look at that. On a knockoff, you don't get real leather. That's real leather. And second, look at it. It's perfect. Look at how it's stitched. Look at it. It's a beautiful purse. It's a purse I could never afford myself. And I just want to know how someone in a parking lot is begging for money while they're carrying a purse that really is probably worth a whole month's worth of, and she's getting herself all worked up.
But I mean, if she is really 100% sure that it was a Louis Vuitton, but even if it was a knockoff, I mean, that's,
well, well, I saw
it's a little, makes you suspicious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I saw the logos, and then I just said, you know, why don't we just get in the car?
You weren't sharing her passion for this particular issue.
No, I said, I don't think you're going to get an answer, you know, because the lady was just standing there kind of looking at us. And everyone.
And the lady doesn't speak English. Even if she does speak English, she's not going to say anything in English.
Did she do anything to let on that she understood what you were saying?
You know what she would do? She'd just stand there. And every time someone would look at her, she'd just hold up the card. Yeah.
You know what? If Janet was really serious, you know, hang out at the Costco for the afternoon till the lady gets tired of doing that, and then just kind of do a little surveillance
and then
see what kind of car she gets into.
You know what? I bet there's a ring of them. I bet there's some smarter guy that hires them.
Maybe
drops them around.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello,
gypsies.
Hey, Don.
Hey,
gypsies.
Yeah, there's gypsies all over the place. They hang out in Reston and Fairfax. This is common throughout Fairfax County Police. If you'd kept an eye on her, she'd probably go to a van where she's got her sugar daddy or whatever, and they get tons of money.
Did you see anywhere in the parking lot, Don, a festively painted wooden van?
I was looking. Well, now
a horse-drawn cart?
A cart.
With pans on it?
A cart with nothing attached to it.
Oh, now I got to look for gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, guys. Wichita, Kansas. How you doing?
Hi there. What's happening?
Hey, Rob, Thespian Troop 183. How you doing, buddy? Hey, Don. Here in Wichita, Kansas, they have cards and they say they're deaf. They say they're deaf and they can't get a job because they're deaf. And they want you to, but they don't just ask for money. They act like they're selling regular Bic pens for $5. I've always wanted to try and call the bluff and slam a book or something. I'd never have the nerve to do it behind them, but that's what they do here in Kansas.
Well, what do you want to do? Like walk up and back them with a firecracker?
Yeah, like slam a chair behind them, or yell boo or something like that. See if they react or if they're faking. But then if they didn't, I'd look like a huge A in front of the whole restaurant.
I bet the people. You know something? I bet the people that do that, even if they're scamming, I bet they are used to that. I bet they have trained themselves not to react to big, loud sounds, because I bet people do it all the time.
Hi there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Buzz, I wanted to comment on what you said about that Louis Vuitton bag. She probably did get that at a thrift store, because, like, for instance, my wife, she got me an Armani jacket in a thrift store for $15.
It can happen. I mean, it sounds like it's probably a scam, but you never know for sure.
But I've also seen news reports when they talk about panhandlers that, you know, at the end of the day, they get into their Mercedes-Benz that it's parked around the corner. Right. You've seen that before, too.
Sure.
I mean, that does happen. It's not like that's never happened, of course.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hi. Hello. Oops, I'm sorry. There you go. You're on the air. Hi.
Pretty good. Over in Seattle, hello?
Yeah, hi there.
Hi, pretty good.
It is.
No, it's good. It's not just pretty good. It's good.
Good.
It's good. It's good.
Good.
Why did you say pretty good when we picked up the phone?
I don't know. Just talking to Joe, and he clicked over to me. So, anyway, I was just going to say, over in Seattle, they have, like, people who make, it's like,
another possible, grand. Another example of my lack of satisfaction with some of our callers. I was trying just to get a tiny little bit of satisfaction there.
Mike, it's the holidays.
It's the holidays, I understand.
It's the holidays.
Pretty good. Go ahead, sir. Hello?
Oh,
that's my fault. That's my fault. I take full responsibility, but none of the blame.
Pretty good. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Pretty good.
Don.
Yeah, and Mike. We're both here. Hi there.
Yeah. Hey, why didn't you give the lady $20 for the purse?
Hey, why do you sound like one of those guys from the 20s, huh?
Hey, I got an idea. Give her $20 for the purse, then she'll make a $15 profit, and you'll have a great day.
You get yourself a flopper.
See?
What do we do? You see, we're going to go down to Chicago. It's prohibition time, and I want to tell you, Capone runs the city.
Torpedoes is what I need. What we'll do is we'll get the lady with the Louis Vuitton purse, we'll get her over in the gypsy van, and we'll run the gypsy van down into the river.
We're all going to be downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
And the post office, see?
Sure.
Ness will never come in here, see?
That's the Chicago way.
Yeah. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
You know, that buckwheat, he is way ahead of his time. He had pears. I wish I had a watermelon.
Stop it. You had us right there. He was way ahead of his time. Way ahead of his time.
I think it's going to be that way all week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I really do, but it's kind of fun.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, there's a guy in town that panhandles all day and goes to Indian Casino. I see him there all the time.
All right, and we thank you.
Call her out.
You didn't have to love us like you did, but you did, and we thank you.
Thanks for the call. No need.
Bye-bye.
Sure. Pretty good.
His Indian name smell like turd. Hello?
Oh, he's gone. Stands with a load.
He's gone. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, it's a scam.
Pretty good.
I had the same woman get
ejected.
All right, good call.
Bye!
Yeah, the same woman.
Yeah, it's a scam.
Very same woman, Mike.
I know it all.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get out of here, Dewey.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer, and you don't want no part of this.
You're smoking reefers?
Yeah, of course we are. Can't you smell it?
Come on, Dewey. Join the party.
No, Dewey. You don't want this. Get out of here.
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
Well, I get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
Oh, okay, well, I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Hmm.
You don't want it.
I think I kind of want it.
Okay, but just this once. Come on in.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Always.
Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
It's the fool and the classy one. Don and Mike.
I'm a grassroots. Yeah, Dewey Cox. That's a movie I want to see.
Yeah. That really does look like it's going to be great. And it's about time that that guy, what's the name of the actor that plays the title role? I forget. He's been in so many.
Is it John C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly. About time he got his moment in the sun to star. I mean, he's been a supporting character in so many great movies.
Yeah, it was Tim Meadows with him there.
Oh, really?
If you Google it, the first 10 minutes of it are online.
Really?
You watch the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Pretty good?
A couple good laughs in it, I think. I think it would probably build up from there.
SHI weekend, if you wanted to go to the movies,
yeah.
We were looking, saying, okay, first, I don't want to see whatever the Golden Compass is.
Oh, yeah, really? Like they say it's for adults, but give me a break.
Rip off of Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the Disney one, where it's like the half girl, half animation.
Enchanted.
Prince Charming come to life.
Right.
We couldn't find anything.
Beowulf.
No thanks. Not even with the 3D glasses. No thank you.
Huh. There's a good one out there, but it's hard to find. I'm trying to think. It's the shoot 'em up. It's the one where the guy.
The Coen Brothers movie?
Yeah. And I can't find it anywhere.
Is it called B-Movie?
No.
That's the
B-Movie.
Anyway, after we decided there was nothing worth our time, I was looking through the DVDs at home, and I said to my girlfriend, have you ever seen Full Metal Jacket? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's a chick. Uh-huh. She's, early 40s, and it's just not been in her wheelhouse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, you're going to like this. And what a treat it is to put on a movie like that.
Right.
And her only knowledge of the movie is me quoting it. Uh-huh. Like, what is that in your locker private pile?
It's kind of fun to put on a real classic.
Right? A jelly donut. And what I found great about watching it was, and I had to stop myself from telling her because she didn't know what the movie's about. I say right away, okay, you see the big cat private pile? That's the guy from Law and Order.
Did you tell her, keep your eyes on him?
Now, Mike, it was very hard. It was very hard not to tell her what was coming because the way that and think about the first time you saw the movie.
Right.
They're playing it like he might be a lovable character who somehow pulls through.
Sure. Right? When you see it for the first time, and I do remember seeing that for the first time, and you thought Private Pie might be like a feel-good story.
And uh-huh. She actually, at one point, right before they beat his ass with the soap, like 5 minutes before, he said something to Joker, and
he gets all sweet right before that. He gets all kind of doughy, and I need you to help me, Joker.
Joker is buttoning up his shirt for him, and he's like going, I could, a Joker. And she looks and she goes, oh. And I just had to stop myself from saying, your world is going to go upside down in about 5 minutes from now.
Yeah, he's about to undergo the change of life when Private Pile, he comes back as a different soldier after that.
And here's the other thing. When the hard-ass sergeant comes in.
R. Lee Ermey.
Right. When he comes in, he's like, Private Pile, what in Jesus' name are you doing? I know that Janet is not in any stratosphere expecting, first off, that he's going to shoot the guy, and then he's going to blow his own head off, and how hard it was to
see. Did you go to the second half? Because that's the end of the first half of the movie. That's what I love about it. You don't have to watch the second half. You can leave it there if you want to. Did you stay with the whole thing?
We watched the whole thing, and it was great because she's heard from various people for so long, like, me love you long time, you know. Ooh, everything you want.
Anything you want. Right.
She's like, is that why everybody says that?
Mm-hmm. Or like, everything you want. You know, that's the nice thing about it. You might massacre it, but you do it. It's the way you interpret it, you know.
And at one point she said to me, is that why, like, sometimes you say, hello, Joker. And I say, sure. Mm-hmm. She said, I always thought you were talking about Batman. Right?
Well, you know, it's a good feeling to experience a movie like that. That not only can you go back to again and again and again, but to watch it with somebody who's seeing it for the first time. How did she like it? Did
she loved it.
She loved it. Yeah, it's a classic. I mean, Stanley Kubrick's my favorite director anyway.
She loved it. It looks good in high def, and unlike a lot of the stuff you see now, no CGI stuff. Was real buildings. And
you know, I really hope that...
love it.
I, you know, there are plenty of good filmmakers, but, you know, Stanley Kubrick, one in a million. I mean, to have his definitive style, and I really hope we get more like that.
She just called. She was sitting there where they're beating him with the soap. And afterwards, when he's just going, ow,
he really does say ow, doesn't he? He goes,
yes.
Ow,
ow,
ow, ow.
I was laughing just a little bit. And she said, now keep in mind, she's really emotionally into this movie.
Sure.
She's,
right.
What's funny? Everything's funny. I said, the first time I saw it, I didn't laugh out
loud. No, nobody laughs the first time you see it because you're shocked by it. But then when you're desensitized to it, it becomes, you know, movies take on a different life when you see them a couple of times. You can handle the guy in the trunk of the car in Goodfellas getting stabbed by Joe Pesci. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't shock you because you know what's happening. When you see it for the first time, it's quite a shock.
Anyway, I'm sure I made the correct move. Our options were either... A Night at the Museum, which we've not seen. Yeah, we got on DVD,
thank you,
we've just not seen it.
You're right.
Or, you know, maybe one that she hadn't seen. So thank you again, Stanley Kubrick.
And I've got two box sets of Stanley Kubrick stuff. I mean, they overlap a little bit, but, you know, so many great movies.
Yep.
I mean, really, just incredible.
Clockwork Orange, 2001.
The highlight of my weekend
Shining.
Had really nothing to do with me. It was Rob. And it was Rob and his kids. And... what is a really, really great idea for kids.
I'm so excited to hear about this. I was bothering Rob when I first got here today to ask him about it.
To get kids into the holiday season, and you have to hear the buildup on this, and you have to hear everything that was done. Please stay to the very end to hear the incredible depression, the Christmas depression that is thrown on these kids.
All right.
Oh.
It's not heartbreaking, Mike. It's not heartbreaking.
Oh, because I was so living vicariously when you told me about the idea. And, of course, I think we all had thoughts that maybe it wouldn't come off perfectly.
Here's the premise, and I'll throw it to
Rob. It was just
Rob.
Unfortunate.
The premise is, I think, one of the coolest things I've ever heard.
The premise is that United Airlines is going to get a plane. They're going to get a bunch of kids to go out to Dulles Airport on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. They're going to put them on a plane, tell the kids they're flying to the North Pole. They're going to make it so when the plane lands, Santa Claus is there. Everything is boarded up so that the kids can't see anything.
They just taxi the plane. But the plane actually leaves the gate, right?
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. But anyway, Rob, pick it up. It's a great idea with a great end.
What was it called, first of all?
The Fantasy Flight.
The Fantasy Flight? Okay,
and
cool.
We got it because Carrie knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. And so we got four seats on this thing. And it was much bigger than I thought. So we had to get up very early. We got to Dulles at 6:30, and there's those flashing road signs, you know, that would normally say, like, keep left or something. It's Fantasy Flight parking, and they parked us near the Marriott at Dulles Airport, so not actually at the airport.
You have to take a shuttle
and
over to
the shuttle
airport.
Takes you right to the airport. We get off, and you know when you get into the main terminal at Dulles Airport, there's that big, big sign that has every departure?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It says, departure, 9 a.m., flight 999, North Pole. It
then
says
you
it
say,
on the sign.
So you're showing this to the kids.
Yeah, and I said,
of course,
and see,
Julie,
right
of course
there, it's I'm with you so far. Cool. It sounds fantastic.
Julia can read. So that was, I thought, was going to be the sticking point. What was going to trip this up?
Right.
That she would see something. But I said, look, guys, it's in North Pole. And Julie said, yeah. And every 20 or 30 feet, there is a United captain, you know, in the suit and the hat.
All right, I have to ask you a question. Your kids going into this, they're obviously
out of their minds. At
Robert
this point.
Is ramped up.
Right.
He's
five,
excited about
Julia
this.
Julia is seven or just about to turn seven.
Just about. So she's right at the end of it, but she still thinks
just,
it's kind of
cool. But
they
are just out of their mind. And they're happy they're going to an airport. You know,
right.
That kids love it.
Cool.
And so they every 20 feet, this way to the fantasy flight. Are you excited about the flight? Are you excited to go to the North Pole? Right this way. Right this
I
way.
I think it's so cool. I really
and
do.
So we get to the, you know, right before the security and they check us in. They check our IDs, and, you know, they're doing, like, the whole deal. The kids get their wings. They get stickers that say Santa Claus. They make us go through the metal detector, and I had to take our shoes off and the whole deal.
So you're full of the kids. It's really great.
Well, you are actually going into that part of the airport,
exactly,
so you have to do it anyway,
but I hadn't
right.
thought this far ahead.
Okay.
We get to we take the people mover, because, you know, that's how Dulles is. We take
right.
the people mover. We get to our gate. We get to the gate. The sign says, United, $9.99, North Pole. And there's handing out refreshments, orange juice and cookies for the kids. There's a balloon animal artist.
All right, so far, so good.
Yeah, it's great. There's a caricature artist that's drawing pictures of the kids.
Wow.
And there's music, and everything is great. Are you excited? Then the flight attendants show up, and these are the most dazzling array of flight attendants you have ever seen.
Sure. Are they hot?
They're the most dazzling array of
faggots. No, I wouldn't call them dazzling if they were hot. These
are
just
you mean you're
dazzling.
Talking about like Perez Hilton dazzling?
Yeah, these are dazzling faggots.
Okay. And they've all got beautiful Santa hats and elf ears, and they're all into it. I said, this is pretty cool.
All right.
And they're doing, you know, 25 minutes till we're boarding for the fantasy flight to go to the North Pole.
You should know, Rob said to me, picture Will Thomas from Channel 5.
Yeah, but
with a Santa hat on.
But a lot of them.
Really?
Yeah. But like Rob said, like, in The Matrix, you know, when they made that one guy, 8,000, the one bad guy, he said, picture a plane full of guys that look just like Will Thomas with Santa hats on, saying to the kids,
are you ready?
Are you excited?
Oh.
So they finally finish up, and we get on the plane, and it's a 747.
Oh, so it's a big jet.
I have never even been on a 747.
Okay.
And it's full. They filled it up with kids and parents, and everybody gets on. And they say, we're getting ready for our departure. There's some weather at the North Pole, but they've cleared us. Now, you got to know, kids, this is a super secret flight plan. So all shades on the plane have to be kept down for the entire flight. Otherwise, we won't be invited back. And they said, great. So we all get our seats. They've got Ratatouille playing on the screen. And, you know, the kids are just beside themselves.
I had asked you on Friday. We were talking about how they were going to do this. And I said, well, the one way of doing it is having the shades put down.
Because
that's cool. So they did that.
Yeah, and that's how they pulled it off. And then they, you know, they seat us in. They give us documentation. Anyone who's been on a national flight, you have to fill out, you know, the card. And they say, this is what you have to fill out to get to the North Pole.
So far, this
is
great.
Don't lose your documentation.
This is great.
Like, it's all great until the very end. I mean, it's all top shelf.
Okay.
And it's not. We've not even gotten to the best of it yet. They say, you know, we've got 20 minutes before takeoff. Would your kids like to go up to the cockpit?
Oh,
and
wow,
I said,
this is fantastic.
Would you? And Robert said no. He was just more excited to be on the plane. Julia said, yeah. So we get to go upstairs in the plane. And go
see the cockpit.
She got to sit in the pilot seat, pull the stick, mess with the throttle. I mean, touch everything
cool.
she wanted. So that's really cool. We get in. The captain gets on. We're ready to depart. They pull the shades. All are down. They rev up the engines. You feel us. They said, we're getting ready for takeoff. And they goose the engines loud.
So they really make it feel.
Yep, and we're rumbling around. And, you know, the kids have only been on one flight
before.
So as far
thing.
As they know, they're in the air at this
I
point.
I say to Rob, here's important. How long do you drive around?
Yeah.
Probably about 15 minutes.
Enough to make
a kid.
An eternity.
Enough to make it credible.
You fool them.
So far, I'm with it. I was really excited about it.
And they're running
this.
Distractions with the, you know, the paperwork and the noise. And, you know, we're almost there.
Right.
They get us to the gate. And they say, we're here at the North Pole. We can disembark now. And they open the doors, and we get out. And on the gangplank or whatever it is, that thing that hooks us up to the gate,
yeah. right.
all the windows are covered, so you can't see outside. You get in, and the gate is just totally made up with Christmas trees and music, and Santa Claus is there. And they've got characters dressed up like Big Bird and Elmo. There's not the word Dulles or Washington, D.C. or anything. Everything is covered. They just say, welcome to the North Pole Airport. And this is the airport. They Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
So they obviously have taken the time. Have they done this before?
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
So they've got the system down.
Just wait, because now the kids are in absolute.
Oh, it's heaven.
Nirvana.
And, right. and there's donuts, and there are cookies, and there are sweetbreads, and here's soda for the kids, and there's people strolling. Would your kids like candy? And so the kids are just going, 1,000 miles an hour. And it's all great. And we're there probably from 9:30 to about noon when it starts to wind up.
Oh, wow. This is
and
a
it
big
was,
deal.
Yeah, it was huge. Every kid got to see Santa, get a present from Santa. It was just amazing. And then I said to Carrie, I said, it's time to wind up. How do we get back? Do we get back on the plane? They said, we need to go to gate C1. I said, okay. So we go to North Pole Gate C1, and they put us on a people mover and take us back front, and that's it. I mean, obviously, and Julia says, we never left the airport.
You see?
Okay, because they should do the return trip.
Do you get what I was saying?
Yes.
They do it perfectly.
Do the return. Spend the extra money to do the return trip.
You spend hours building this up for these kids. It's and the illusion. Way Rob described it to me was, he's really low-balling it, is that they said, that's it. You're done. You get on the people mover.
Yeah, that's it. People mover.
And
Thank you.
As soon as you get on the people mover, you see, hold on a second. These are like fake decorations, and we really are just 10 feet
from where we were. Go from one terminal to the other.
And all they had to do was just put the kids back on.
And it would have been 100%. It would have been 100%. And it was
perfect until the very
finish line. Wow. And then it was, you want to get on the people mover and take you back to the terminal now. They'll get you to your car.
Oh, and it would have been, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, no, how long? It would have been
an hour to get everybody back on.
But if they cut the thing at, like, say, 10:30, you know, 11
exactly.
o'clock.
Hey, couldn't you say to the kids, get back on the plane. Santa's got super-duper speed. We're going to make it back in half the time that it took us to make it here before. Yeah. And plus, what kid's got a watch and is going, right. And the flight only took 20 minutes to get here.
They have no concept of time. It would have been perfect.
All they do know is that when they leave the North Pole, all of a sudden they realize that Mommy and Daddy and everybody were lying to them that they were really just at the airport the whole goddamn time.
So it was, but because it was so flawless, it even made the last part of it worse.
Yeah.
Because they'd gone out of their way
to
cover up. You have to get back on the plane and go back to Dulles.
I was really shocked, and I didn't know that this was going to fall apart like this until, 5 minutes to 12.
And isn't that, I mean, think about the detail they put in. When Rob was telling me that, seriously, the flight attendants on the flight.
The fantasy flight to the North Pole. Mm-hmm.
They were really making the mom and dads fill out the declaration forms.
And was there any, did anybody, you obviously spoke to other parents. Yeah. Did anybody else commiserate with, hey, or were you all, because it was such a good party.
But, we're right there in front. We get back on like a rental car van to take us back to our cars.
Right.
And it's looking to the parents. And there's this one guy, and I've seen him at some other events. And I looked at him. I said, kind of fell apart at the end, huh? And he said, yeah. And, but you really can't go in if the kids are right there. You don't want to say, they just cheated us.
No, but the point is this. If they put this much effort in,
it would just take a scotch more to make it perfect.
You got to make it perfect. And I think it would be amazing if they would do that.
And I was dreading it a little bit going into it because I didn't know how it was going to go down.
Right.
But, as of 11:45 on Saturday, I said, this is the greatest thing I've ever done for the kids.
Really, just an amazing event for the kids.
So cool.
Was it good enough where that carried over, or did it not? What did your little ones say? What did the little guys
say? They liked it. I mean, but it's any sort of Santa magic that might have been there was gone.
Yeah.
Because it was ruined at the end. Yeah, okay. It was kind of like the end of a Hitchcock movie.
A good lesson about life.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Right. Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
I just want to call and confirm everything Mike Rob has said.
You mean you were at this function?
I work for Dulles TSA, and I was there and I saw it. Everything he said is true.
Well, then, do you have any idea why didn't they just put the kids back on the airplane?
I have no idea why. It has to do probably something with the airlines. But a little.
It probably up. Now. What time did you do your taxiing and over? I mean, like what time?
9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock, so it's not like there's air traffic there.
Sure,
so they're just going a little ways. Was this the first time you work at the airport? Was this the first time they'd done this thing?
No, they do it every year.
They disappoint children every year.
You can set your clock by the crying.
Well, in our fifth year of breaking children's hearts.
Yes, we give them a flawless ruse. We give them a flawless charade, and then at the end, of course, all the bets are off because, hey, you really have been at Dulles. That's almost nightmarish.
Any talk about among the employees at the airport that it all falls apart at the end? Sir?
No, he's gone.
Oh, that's too bad that he's gone there. But, since they did such a great job leading up to, they really got to go all the way with it.
I would hope they would in the future.
And then you get up back on the plane, and that's part of the fun.
I doubt we'll be returning to see the improved Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, that's too bad.
But it was a pretty staggering build-up with a really tremendous letdown.
You know, when you said this to me, I thought that was just about one of the coolest things I'd ever
heard. It's a great idea, is it not?
Fabulous.
Don and Mike Show agreed. Hello.
Hello?
Hey, hi. What's happening?
Hey, Rob, did you stand up at the end and say, have you all got amnesia?
They just cheated us.
They wanted to.
That is just such a drag there. Getting, and, you know, and not only does it ruin the whole fantasy of the North Pole trip, but then you get the magic of the greatest airport in the world,
and
Dulles Airport. You get to
mover.
Go on the People Mover, yeah. Which is the nicest part
and
of
it. And I
Dulles.
Think what no one really wants to say when you're talking about kids is because everybody's kid is at a different age, obviously, and is mentally either ahead, behind. I'll tell you, Julia, I guarantee, is already putting all the pieces together.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did she say anything to you?
She said at one point, she said, are you sure we're going to leave this airport? I said, we're on a plane. Why would we be on a plane if we're not going to leave the airport? And then when they went through the whole thing with the revving of the engines and the driving and the arrival, she was convinced.
Wow.
Until we got
wouldn't
on the...
be? You're on a 747 and they spool up the engines. I'd believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It felt pretty good. And then we got on the People Mover and she said, we never left.
Yeah, you know what? And I think the best way to describe Julia so people can get her, Robbie's oldest daughter, his only daughter, yeah, she is like a kid in a Peanuts cartoon.
She's so scary smart.
She has that. She'll sit down and talk to you, and you realize all of a sudden, wow, hold on. She really comprehends stuff.
Yeah, she gets it, and she's at that. And she's at the age anyway where, you know, you're at that tail end of the Santa Claus.
Yeah,
thing.
So, you know. That was
that's you know, I was so into this when you told me about it because it sounded so perfect if they pulled it off right.
You know when Letterman pulls at his collar when something uncomfortable happens on the show? A lot of that on the People Mover.
You know, they've done this for a number of years. I wonder if anybody's really hipped them to the fact that, hey, but, you know, obviously if you're going to turn those engines on, I mean, you're talking about jet fuel.
And not only that, but, I mean, a plane that is doing that is not flying paying passengers.
Right? Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also there's the traffic on the tarmac, so I imagine it's tough.
Well, I would just simply say another airline out there might be able to do it better.
So next year, the kids will all be put to sleep briefly.
Am I the only one that's concerned about the footprint that was left in our ozone because of this? And I'm
right.
I'm all for leaving. And what do they call that? Your whatever the footprint.
Your ecological footprint.
Carbon footprint. I'm all for leaving a carbon footprint. But what about the broken hearts?
They leave a footprint too.
The broken hearts can never be mended for that.
Carrie was still crying this morning. But not about that.
Jim Nance says, that's stupid.
That is completely out of line.
Not a win-win, guys.
Well, you know, even with that, I think my kids are both not at Santa age anymore. And, you know, but I'd love to experience that. Were there any older kids on the plane?
Yeah. And, you know, taking that out of it, it's still a really cool thing to go through.
It is a cool thing, and I think they deserve credit for it, but just go the whole way.
I wish that we could have left it with the magic on the table.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm big on the Santa Claus thing. And
or have the kids close their eyes and all of a sudden take down the decorations. Or say, you know,
do something to have the end and not just throw them on the
People Mover.
But, you know, when it is sort of worthwhile when they get it, and it was a great Santa Claus. And
oh, really?
He had presents for everybody.
It was really good until all the kids literally got kicked in the nuts at the end.
So there were good moments to watch until it all fell apart.
That's right.
Total disaster at the very end.
Buzz
just keeps saying a good lesson to be learned.
Hello, Don.
Nobody said that life is fair, Tina.
That's right.
Hello there, Don and Mike. What's happening?
Yeah, hey, I was hoping to have a chance to warn Buzz about his gala combined federal campaign appearance tomorrow.
Oh, dear. What are you warning me?
Well, I just wanted to make you aware that if you've never been to a mental institution, be prepared.
Hold on. Let me just explain this. Boy, it's a random call. Yeah. Buzz was telling me before the show today, you know, Buzz does many outside speaking gigs.
Yes.
And such.
Thousands.
A motivational speaker is what he is.
He's a motivational speaker.
Anyway, about 10 or 12 a week.
It's a life lesson.
Who are you speaking to? Yeah, you're doing some sort of industrial voiceover thing, right?
No. I'm giving a speech tomorrow.
You're speaking tomorrow.
Where are you speaking?
Are you ready for this? You're sitting down?
Yeah, I am.
The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency.
That's right.
Where I'm speaking tomorrow.
Care to give us more detail?
They're the ones that run the Spatial Olympics.
Was Howard Bernstein busy?
Yes, he was. These are the people who watch us through satellites.
Really?
Well, be careful. They'll all want to be touching you, so you need to keep your distance.
Well, that's why I accepted the gig.
Okay. Hey, take
this is a typical Buzz thing. We're not going to get any information unless we pry.
He told me outside. I know what he told me outside is that he is making some sort of a speech. It's an odd marriage, is what he said.
Sure is.
Is it? In essence, he's making a speech to, now I remember, he's making a speech to people that, like, who he really thinks are nasty and skanky and spy on us. Really?
Well, they do a little bit of that, I suppose. That's part of the military. It started out as the National Mapping Agency.
Maybe I've said too much.
How did you get this gig?
Yeah, he seems like such a natural.
I know people who know people.
Well, and he's got, listen, you're doing it for your usual gigantic, generous fee, correct?
No, I'm doing it at no charge whatsoever. It's for a charity fundraising that they do every year in the federal government.
Community,
is it a Christmas
community
thing?
Service.
Combined Federal Campaign is like the United Way for federal employees, and tomorrow we're going to get together at the NGA and celebrate the work that they've done this year.
It was all part of his deal, Doug.
So are you kind of like emceeing and introducing other people?
No, I'm one of a couple of guest speakers.
What is your speech going to be about?
Well, talking about the importance of charity and the good work that these people have done, and hopefully encouraging them to do more of it.
What's your opening line?
I don't remember now.
I don't want to spoil it anyway. How'd you get invited? This is quite a pleat in your cape.
I know somebody who works there.
And so you're going to talk about, hi, welcome, I'm Buzz Burbank, I'd like to tell you we're all gathered here to celebrate these people.
Because it's like the United Way, they feed money into a lot of community service organizations.
Don't they know that you hate charity?
I've spoken. No, I work with charities all the time. I speak all the time on the Washington Weekly, for example.
Oh, that's the show that the station forces you to do.
That's right, at gunpoint every Sunday.
More importantly, do they know how you feel about the big guy?
I don't know if they do or not. I don't know that comes into play.
Will there be any men of the cloth there? It'll come into play then.
There might be, but it's a government affair.
Fist
fight! I don't know about you, Buzz, but God comes into my life every day.
Yes.
How about you, Mike?
Amen. I was in church last week.
Buzz, the big warning is don't bring any of your special holiday mistletoe, if you know what I mean.
No, there are
dogs.
I'm just amazed I passed security clearance.
Yeah. He'll be all ginged up when he gives his speech.
All right,
man.
So it's not a paid appearance. It's not one of your voiceover gigs.
No, it's a speech to like 300 people in an auditorium that will further be televised to other federal locations.
Hey, how about that?
Well, that's a cherry gig for you, Buzz. Congratulations.
And you're doing it for free?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
I'm very proud to be doing that. I'll tell you something fun about this agency, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. It used to be the National Mapping Agency, and a guy named Don Adams, before he was in show business, used to work there.
See, Tennessee Tuxedo.
And also Get Smart. And if you remember the opening to Get Smart with all those doors he went through, right. Don Adams got that idea from when he worked at the National Mapping Agency.
Really?
It's the same outfit. These are the shoe phone people.
So they're spies?
And well, now he's dead.
Some of them are. Some of them make maps.
Mm-hmm. These are the people you don't trust, though, Buzz.
Oh, I trust these people. I don't trust the people they work for.
Bam, bam, every,
in any given 4 years.
Bam, bam, da. Bam, ba, da, 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 da. What a great theme that was.
Is that going to be the next big flop for Steve Carell? I've seen the ads for that.
Oh, boy.
You know, I feel bad for that guy because I think he's so talented.
Yeah, but he's got bad representation
and so funny.
Bad choices.
He's so great in The Office. He was so great in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. But then he's got that string of movies, the Evan Almighty and the Dan in Real Life. And now Get Smart. You would think it would be hard to F up Get Smart, and he would be good as Maxwell Smart.
The movie where he's in the van with the
Little
whole
Miss
family.
Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine, another great little movie. Mm-hmm. That's what he ought to be doing.
Right.
Little movies like that.
Mm-hmm. I've got a feeling that Get Smart is going to be pretty good.
It's just another one. God almighty, it's another non-original idea from Hollywood.
Yep.
I mean, good Lord.
Come up with
something original.
I tell you, the guy that really has to be looking in a mirror today and saying, when did I sell out, was Jason Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Chipmunks.
I have seen so many ads now for Alvin and the Chipmunks.
He's doing the tour.
And Jason Lee is great on My Name is Earl. He was great in all those goddamn Silent Bob movies and everything else.
But Mallrats.
Now to see him standing there going, Alvin?
Right.
Yuck.
I always think of Jason Lee as he could have been the guy that was the good-looking guy that hung out with Seth Rogen instead of that other guy that's in all those movies. He could have been, Jason Lee could have been the guy.
You know, Scott Baio should be in the movie Alvin and the Chipmunks.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Someone like that.
Yeah, it is.
Steve Guttenberg. There, I've said his name.
You always do.
And I guess that they're just going to exhaust every children's cartoon, something that we all grew up with, and until there are no more.
And then start over again.
Then they'll start over, and by that time, they'll have other things that they can duplicate. It's ridiculous.
They always disappoint the children. First, it's Santa Claus. Then it's Alvin and the Chipmunks. Show Alvin at the Chipmunks, but only at Dulles Airport.
I'll just want a hula hoop. This way to leave the airport, Alvin.
Yes, please get on the people mode. Oh, yes, children. You're still at Dulles. You've been here the whole time.
It was a lie.
Merry Christmas, children.
How stupid are you kids?
Did you really think you were at the North Pole? Was the fantasy that good? Well, welcome back to reality. It's 50 degrees and gray. You're in Northern Virginia. And look, kids. Look over there. There's the Easter Bunny. Bony the Tooth Fairy.
Yes, fantastic. Yes, welcome. You're still, you've never left Dulles Airport. How's that sugar high feel now?
Suckers.
Mommy and Daddy lied to you.
That's right. You've been on the ground. What the plane did was spool up their engines.
That's all.
Foolish children.
All grown up.
You can never believe an adult. Well, we hope you've learned a valuable lesson. Now, please come down to the local cafeteria where you'll have a delicious lunch of liver and onions. Happy holidays, children.
One more. Hello, Doug, Don, and Mike show. Joe found a guy who says he was at that thing. Doug?
What did do? Hi, Don and Mike. Yes, I was there. All the kids on the plane.
That's my fault. Joe, you got me.
Doug was performing at the event. He was actually piloting the people mover.
On the good ship. You were all on the good ship Greece, right?
Yes, we were.
How you doing, kids?
Ha-da-da-da-da-da.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm horny, you're horny.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Years later, when I had the honor of working with Julia on Closer, in which we would both be saying a million dirty words, I wanted to give Julia the perfect gift on the first day of work.
Natalie Portman.
So being the classic lady I am, I brought Julia a necklace that said simply, elegantly,
C word.
For those of you watching on TV at home, very private part of the female anatomy. This was the ideal gift because Julia is so clearly the opposite.
Somebody give me a C.
And as a wrap gift, I was incredibly honored when Julia gave me a beautiful necklace with the words, little c.
The Don and Mike Show.
I remember coming home once, and my father says, C's are not allowed in this house.
Having said that, you are with a capital C.
Somebody give me a C.
It's Obama time!
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Happy f***ing Hanukkah, the Don and Mike Show.
Right. All right. Yeah, baby. All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Yeah, I had a question for Rob.
He's around here. What's up?
When I went up to the cockpit, by any chance, was Peter Graves in there?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
You watch movies about gladiators?
That's exactly what it's like. Airplane. Going back, what's Airplane? 50 years ago that movie was made?
I know when we were talking about the Patriots game yesterday, we mentioned Jim Nantz blowing his cool. Did you at any point see when they had the shot of Robert Kraft next to Leslie Moonves. Hey.
No, I did not see that. I know they're doing something together.
From CBS, yes. They're starting an eatery there.
Right.
A CBS cafe in the Patriots Stadium where they're going to whore out every single TV icon that CBS owns, from Lucille Ball to Ed Sullivan to David Letterman, and it's going to be at a corner of
the stadium.
And it was the two guys yesterday sitting there, and I was blinded from the beautiful. I want to say that I think both those fellows have their original teeth.
Yes.
That I don't think either Leslie Moonves or Bob Kraft has those. Those veneers,
those piano keys. No, those are real. Those are real choppers.
I thought I was looking at Meryl and Wayne Osmond.
It's
the,
incredible.
The eyes were so piercing, but more importantly, the teeth. Ow, blinding!
Wonderful example to the youth of America to take care of your teeth, so that you can have pearly whites like that even when you when you get up there in years. I think that's fantastic. It's a and of course, did Mr. Kraft have the white collar with the blue shirt.
And a red tie.
And a red tie.
Of course.
Very, very good. And was Mr. Moonves sufficiently tanned?
It looked to me like he had just come out of the tanning box.
Very good. Always nice to hear. That's good. I'm very happy. And I look forward to attending the cafe. Is this the first one that they're going to have? Is this the
Mike.
Is the debut?
Here it is.
Oh, goody.
Many of the eyes sports properties will be featured there. The I is what they call CBS.
The I.
NFL logos, NCAA logos, more than 100 HD monitors with various games. Patrons will have interactive monitors at the table that will allow them to dial up a host of CBS programming.
Yay. Wonderful.
From I Love Lucy to CSI to Late Show with David Letterman.
Well, that's good. Let's give that a round of applause. We're
beautiful idea.
We're big supporters. I support that 1,000%.
Can't wait to go.
Yeah, I'm excited to go too. I'm it's gonna be a long drive up to Foxborough, Rob. But there are a couple of home games coming up for the Patriots, so that's
Mike.
A good
they
thing.
Have all the two out of the three games are home games. How about you and I drive up there just for lunch?
I think that's fantastic. Don't even have to go to the game. My question is, will it be open on non-game days? You know, because that really would be worth just going to the stadium.
Sure. All I know is that you and I can finally stop eating at the ESPN Zone every day.
Yeah, that ABC property. That Disney, that Buena Vista property.
Here you got a 10% discount.
Hi, right. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello there.
Hey, is it me?
Oh, that's an instant disqualification on the show.
You gone.
You got to know it's you. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, American Gladiators coming back with all the hot girls. What do you think about that?
Well, when you say hot girls, I mean, that's I'll watch it.
Sure. I saw Hulk Hogan. I didn't see any hot girls. In the ads.
The Gladiator hot girls.
Right. I didn't see the Gladiator hot girls in the ads.
You will.
Coming back next month.
Trust me, I saw the ad. I didn't see the hot girls in the ad, though.
They were hot. Have you seen it, Buzz?
Yeah, I've seen ads and with the hot girls.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I like the, a little muscle action on the girls. I don't like the
not me.
The over muscle bound women, but no. I don't mind. Like some of those competitions,
I always think they're flabby frows.
You know, some of those competitions where they have the weightlifters that are out there. I think it's called Miss Fitness USA, something like that.
Yeah, right. Gross.
And you get the ones that are, you know, that aren't that muscle bound, and they look kind of just like women that are in great shape. And then you see the ones that are like men, and they're scary looking.
Yeah. I want to see women like Liz Crenshaw from Channel 4.
Playing in an American Gladiators.
I want her there wearing that lacrosse helmet with that big, giant... What do you call that thing? It looks like an oar, and it's got a padded end.
Well, it's like a Nerf stick that they use to knock them off. And then they shoot the Nerf cannon, too. But I think they ought to... If it's Liz Crenshaw, they ought to just... the ammunition should be pies. You know,
pies like on sticks?
No, just little fruit pies. You know, when they... How they have the cannon... When the American Gladiators are running back and forth, and you just have Liz running the gauntlet.
Impossible.
And you're shooting fruit pies.
Because Liz would stop. Yeah. Liz would stop and open her mouth.
She gets extra credit if she can catch one in her mouth.
Sure. When she catches it.
But if it hits her anywhere else on her body, it'll be terrible. It'll be terrible.
We could go head-to-head Liz Crenshaw and the black lady from The View.
Oh.
Sherry.
I can't think of her name.
Sherry, yeah.
Sherry.
It's Obama time!
Or the white lady from The View, known as Joy Behar.
Or any of the ladies from The View, actually.
Oh, that black lady, she's well-spoken.
You like sound her. Like my mom.
Hello.
80 years old.
She is so polite.
Mm-hmm. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, good afternoon.
I'll say it. You won't. She knows her place. On that show. Hello, Don and Mike show. Isn't that right, Whoopi?
I'm horny, you're horny. Come on, let's go do it.
Let's go.
Baby. Nobody says horny better than Whoopi.
Do it, baby. Hello, what's happening? Don and Mike show.
Hey, good afternoon. You're talking about Jim Nance a minute ago. Now, I watched that game. How many orgasms do you think he had talking about Tom Brady?
Listen, there is no doubt that Jim Nance has a gigantic man crush on Tom Brady that if Frank Caliendo wanted to riff on it, mm-hmm. he could riff on that as much as he riffs on Madden with Brett Favre. Oh,
yeah. Right.
Really, there's nothing, because to hear Nance wax poetic.
He loves Tom Brady, and he gets angry at anybody that doesn't show Tom Brady the love. The secondary of the Pittsburgh Steelers was not showing Tom Brady the love.
Well, the end of that rave out where he yells at that stupid player was, and that's what you get for screwing with Tom Brady.
And he made you the fool today.
That's right. Tom
he
Brady
made you the fool today, guys.
And he's going to make me his bitch later.
I'll tell you something.
There he is.
There are athletes and there are athletes. And I have to tell you that there's more going on here than just an athlete on a field. He's an Adonis. He's a fantasy warrior stalking his prey. He's a lovely, tight-cheeked man that I find inspiring to look at. I'm Jim Nance, and I'm talking, of course, about Tom Brady. Not just a quarterback, but seemingly a Greek god.
A field general on the field and in the bedroom, Phil.
A man among men. All women want to be with him. All men want to be like him.
Are you Jim Nance?
Yes, I'm Jim Nance, and I'm looking at a chiseled, sculpted athlete, seemingly made out of pure granite to be placed on the gridiron and into my bedroom.
Friends, on a day like today, to be a flake of snow lucky enough to fall on the cleft of the chin of the incredible Tom Brady makes my Nance Slack stand up and say, hello, Mr. Kraft.
Why, as soon as I saw Tom Brady throw that empty Gatorade cup down to the field, I was ready to sprint down the 40-yard line and grab myself that cup and put it in the Nance collection, along with my Elvis cup.
After I licked it before. Try lick it, of course.
Look at that. Not a drop of sweat on Tom Brady. I know it's cold out, but still, these athletes are exerting themselves. But exertion is a different level for Tom Brady.
Here's another thing he really does say about him. One of the most dapper-dressed men in the NFL. Wow. You know, he's out there wearing his football uniform.
Uh-huh. Looks good in it, though.
As his hair grew, so grew his talent. Eyes that I wish I could submerge myself in. A strong, firm jaw. Full, rich, kiss-me lips. I'm talking, of course, about Tom Brady.
A right arm that can grasp a football just as tough and just as hard as he could grasp my right buttock.
Some athletes are born to lead. Others are born to love. In this case, Tom Brady is born to do both. And he can love and lead me anytime he wants to.
I'm bending over to be the long snapper on the pooch punt of love with number 12 from Michigan, a sixth-round pick. He doesn't forget it, as I don't forget those bangs slipping down over his eyes, those piercing blue eyes.
Christmas is the time for Christmas cookies. And boy, would I like to grab hold of Tom Brady's cookies any chance I get. I'd sell the souls of my children to eat cream cheese out of his ponderous chin dimple.
I would prostitute my daughter for the chance to be there as Tom is getting coiffed.
I'd slice Phil Simms' jugular just to get a lock of Tom Brady's hair.
Hell, I'll say it now, folks. Score Patriots 42, Steelers 27. Jim Nance head over heels in love forever
with Tom Brady. And after the game, I plan to head down to the Patriots locker room where I'll say, no need for you to shampoo your own hair, Tom. Let Jim Nance help out. And I'll take just a dab of Prel in my right palm and work that shampoo into his scalp vigorously so as to make sure that his lovely brown locks are shiny for his evening out. And perhaps I can wash some of the other regions of his body as well.
Folks, Jim Nance in high definition, brought to you by Pioneer as I break out the body wash for Tom here in the Patriot shower.
Yes, as the crowd has left Foxborough on a chilly Sunday, I linger in the parking lot waiting for the man among men. I'm talking, of course, about Tom Brady to make the way out to his fancy automobile. And at that particular time, I'll say, I have car trouble. Can you give me a ride to my palatial estate in Connecticut?
Hi, folks. It's Jim Nance.
Are you Jim Nance?
Yes, I am. I'm presenting myself now the way an animal presents himself to you, Tom Brady.
I'm ready for total submission, Tom, as I lean up against the hood of your car, waiting for you in the parking lot.
Phil, as you know, before every game with Tom Brady, I must cover my nipples with Band-Aids because my nipples become as hard as diamond cutters when I look at number 12 throwing his rainbow spirals for the New England Patriots.
I was wondering at the end of the game, you threw such a great game. I was wondering if we could maybe relax in one of the local hotel bars and we could compare each other's nipples. I'd sure like that opportunity. Jim Nance, broadcaster extraordinaire, Tom Brady, quarterback of the stars. And as a matter of fact, you could impregnate any lady in my family. That's how incredibly enthralled I am with you, Tom Brady, from Nance to Brady. Please take them. My wife, daughters, it doesn't matter.
Please eat my mom's Hello Dollies.
My mom is included in that illustrious list, Tom.
Eat mother's Hello Dollies right in front of me, right here on CBS. America's number one network.
I'd crawl over the cold corpse of Dorothy Jo Nance, a former Miss Charlotte, just to have a chance to cream Brady's pecs with some warm Lubriderm. What a wonderful afternoon it would be.
Bill, to be the Ben Gay in the tube that gets spread in the groin area of Tom Brady, a sixth-round pick. Handsome even back then.
If you could make your way down to my hometown of Houston, you and I could spend the afternoon luxuriating in a bathtub full of Texas barbecue. Tom, naked as the day we were born.
Tom, I dream about you and I taking the bus to Houston, going to the old folks' home, watching my dad blow spit bubbles. Outside, you can toss me passes.
You know something, after I have a tough day of broadcasting the day's biggest sporting events, I like to relax with a bubble bath, and I'm wondering if you feel the same way, Tom Brady. I know you've got lots of aches and pains after being knocked around on the gridiron. Perhaps we could get in my Nance Whirlpool with its massaging jets and enjoy an evening of watching 60 Minutes here on CBS together. I think we could have a fabulous old time.
When I said tossing passes, I didn't mean the football variety. Oh. I meant, hey, good-looking. I'll be back to pick you up later.
Sweet Thomas, I'd brew a pot of anal tea and serve it with 1,000 types of cheese. It would be Brady-licious. I guarantee you that.
There was a man named Brady. Tell me, friends, and I'm not talking about the guy from the show with a thing, and he's gone. It's Jim Nance, friends, talking about how one man can love another man from a broadcast booth.
Hi, this message is for Tom Brady. It's Jim Nance. Wondering if you'd like to come over to my suite at the Four Seasons, and we could spend the evening comparing notes, going over game-filled and sword-fighting until the sun comes up.
Hi, Tom. It's Jim. Thinking about having a sleepover.
I've got my Patriots pajama bottoms on, and I've saved you the tops. You could just wear my pajama top around.
Hey, it's Jim Nance. Got a thing I want to do with you. It's called DOT. It's called Do Our Thing.
You know, I stay at the finest hotels. CBS has been generous enough to put me up at these great hotels. Many of them have bidets, and I'd be happy to show you how they work. I'll give you my own Jim Nance bidet description. I'm sorry, display. Please come to my room. Please. I'd hold a ripened berry between my elbows. Tom Brady eats it and never uses his teeth.
What the hell is that, Rob? I don't know. My God. He is in love with Tom Brady, though.
Clearly. You know, Christmas is the season for cracking walnuts, and I'd love you to crack mine. Please, Tom Brady, come to,
hold on a second.
Come to Suite 404.
Where is the Jim Nance stuff?
The Nance Suite.
Nance? Oh, today, here we go. Cut number 9.
I'd shave you. Let me shave you.
Jim Nance here. Tom, let me see you the way God brought you into this world. Naked and smooth.
Well, I say I think he'll walk away with a lot of regret because some of his teammates actually thought this was a win-win situation for him. That's what started the whole deal right there.
Guys.
But, you know, talking to some of the Steelers, they actually, in trying to stand up for their teammate, you know, they would say things like, well, what do you want to say? Sure, we're going into a game. We think we're going to win.
I love Tom Brady, okay?
I won't stand by while somebody else challenges him.
I'm not going to say we're going to lose, but as you said to me last night, this was only the 8 trillionth time somebody came out with a guarantee.
You can't do this to Tom Brady.
8 trillionth.
I love him.
That is my boyfriend.
I have sucked his tongue while it's been in my mouth.
I dress him when he goes out in New York City.
It is so old, it is so unoriginal, and it is so stupid, really, to say something like that in this day and age.
Yeah, it is, but what really got you riled up is what?
One of the players said, hey, he's been on ESPN all week.
It's a win-win.
Give me a break. I mean, this self...
It's going to be on again this week.
Self-aggrandizing day of the modern day.
Here it comes.
Just because you say something.
Tom Brady.
It gets you on TV a lot. It's not win-win. You've been made a fool today right here by Tom Brady.
Right. There it is.
You've been made a fool by my boyfriend, Tom Brady. Mm-hmm.
Room service has sent up 60 cans of Ready Whip, and I'll make Tom a dairy tuxedo and undress him with a bendy straw. What fun we will have.
That's my boyfriend, mister.
Yes. Oh, he's here. I've got champagne chilling. Come in. Great game today. You showed those Pittsburgh Steelers, Tom.
Did you use my fake name at the front desk? Harry Butt?
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's right. I'm just wearing this robe that happens to have fallen open. Look at me. Look at me.
He would have that same look as in his publicity picture, right? Yes.
I call this Jim Nance Makes the Elephant Talk.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
like the Big Lebowski.
Hello, friend.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Take a look at that.
Hello, friend.
I've been waiting for you, Tom.
So nice to see you here. I've been waiting. You're showered. So am I. Phil just left. What a pain in the ass he is. I thought he'd never leave.
Speaking of that, I've got plenty of the lube.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
Look what I put in the mini bar for you. Will you put something in there for me? Thank you. Tom Brady, a great American, a true patriot. Not just the name of the team, but a man that really believes what he says.
Phil, Tom, and I will be making love tonight. Cold Case followed by Without a Trace tonight on CBS number 1.
Tom Brady, only one thing to say to you from Jim Nance. I've got to say that I only have this emotion when I'm around you, and I'll share it with you right now in the comfort of my own suite. Whenever you're around me, Tom Brady, I'm always wishing that I could get pregnant with your baby. As a man, I wish I could father your child. Truly.
Tom, I'm sending you this copy of the movie by Arnold Schwarzenegger called Junior.
And as a performance for you, Tom, I'm now going to show you from my mini bar what I can do with the stick of Toblerone candy. Watch me make it disappear.
Look, also in the mini bar, a disposable camera. I've taken the liberty of shooting an entire roll for you, love.
You can have these developed on your own time, and you'll keep a little Nance with you at all times, Tom Brady.
Now, I got you one of these nice Jackie Stewart driving caps that you love wearing. One of these Johnny Depp caps. You're as cute as Johnny Depp. You're cuter.
Tom, you'll notice what I've done here in my suite as I was waiting for you. I shaved my eyebrows off and painted on the supermodel eyebrows that I know you like. Just for you, Tom. I'll shave anything off you want me to shave off.
Hi, J. Jim Nance.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend. I was raised to believe that the Bible says gays are bad, but I've got to tell you, Tom, I want to screw your ass on the Bible. I love you, buddy.
Now it's a lovely afternoon of lighting our farts on fire. As I stand here in this robe, just say the word and I'll drop the jelly bean into the shot glass. One at a time. That's what I call self-control. And I won't drop the licorice.
I want to be the one with the towel by my butt when you wipe your hands before you get under there. You make the exchange with the center. It's Jim Nance.
Tom, I'm going to tell you how much I love you. I'm perfectly willing to hurl myself out of this 11-story window just to show you how much I care about you. But I know you won't ask me that because I can do all sorts of tricks for you all afternoon long.
All right, Tom, I don't need you. I don't need you. I've got Vern Lundquist.
I'm wearing the CBS blazer now just for you, Tom, and that's all I'm wearing. Yes, I took off my CBS underwear a little earlier this afternoon.
Tom, I want to have you in the brand new CBS store in Patriot Stadium. Tom, I want to have you on an I Love Lucy countertop.
You know, you're familiar with the song, When a Man Loves a Woman. I've redone the lyrics for you, Tom Brady. When a man loves a man, all for you. And I've painted myself gold, as you can see. Yes, just like the man with the golden gun. Take a look at me, Tom Brady.
You know what I am? I'm your walking, talking Oscar. Because you are handsome enough to win one, my friend.
Consider this your own private ESPY award.
Oscar loves Tom. Let me show you how much. It's Jim Nance, friends.
How did this happen? Take a look at this. This Marriott ice bucket is full of Vaseline and zucchini. Hey. It's almost showtime.
That'll be 15 yards for holding. I think it's time you and I go under the hood, Tom.
Tom, why don't you just make yourself comfortable over in this Marriott easy chair, and I'll show you how I get the penalty known as illegal use of the hands. Fun with Dick and Jane. Wow. Leave your jersey on.
Let me lick that eye black. Oh, Tom. Tom, now, do that thing with your jock strap. It's Jim Nance. Do that thing where you put the jock strap over my face like they did back in gym class.
Yeah, that's the way we love to do it. Then I'll take it off and make tea with it.
Jim Nance?
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend. Hello.
It's time for me to rough the passer. You want a 3-5 or 7-step drop, Tom? Tom, the pocket is collapsing.
Oh, I really do want to rough the passer.
Tom, I am blitzing all of my linebackers right now.
Hi, Tom. Jim Nance again. I know you haven't been taking my calls. All I want you to do is stop over, just a layover if you're headed back to New England. Stop by the Nance household. I've sent all the children and the wife away.
I've got a 3-4 defense for you. It's three fingers on my left hand and four fingers on my right hand.
Red Rover, let Tom Brady come over.
Milk, milk, lemonade.
Round the corner, fudge is made.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
I want you to see what I've done here at the Nance household, Tom. I took all the chocolate Santas and re-sculpted them with my penknife into shapes of Tom Brady. That's right. Shaved off the beard and made your face.
And now I can eat you whenever I want.
You are delicious, made of delicious milk chocolate. I love you, Tom.
I'm Jim Nance. I'm a top.
But for you, I'd be a bottom, too. I'd change positions.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Oh, boy. Tom right, Brady, Jim Nance, and an empty Dixie cup.
You know what, Mike? We sure have not called Dick Van Patten on his birthday.
Is it his birthday today?
Well, it was yesterday, so we should break it. We should call him.
And who knows? Maybe he'll have a joke of the day.
Otherwise, I know we'll sit here for the next 20 minutes because he'll keep writing something for us, won't he?
Exactly. He'll go on and say silly things like, Rob Spiewak writes, after our coupling, we shall say the Pledge of Allegiance and then spoon until daylight. He's a little too good at this.
Yeah.
And coming up next on the Don and Mike Show, a call to Dick Van Patten on his birthday. How many does he have left?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
There go.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come on, everyone. That 80s Enough reunion show is about to start.
Oh, Mary, have you seen Nicholas?
He's up in his room sulking, Dad.
Yeah, he's still upset because Abby threw out his baseball cards.
Oh, well, maybe I should make him a sandwich.
Oh, Dad, that's your solution to everything.
Dad! Dad!
What?
8 is enough.
You know I love you, girls.
She was hitting them.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was good.
Just a big box of OK. The Don and Mike Show.
I want to thank Don and Mike for I had a lot of fun here. And I didn't travel 3,000 miles to watch you lose, so that's why you won.
All right.
But I want to thank all of you for supporting the Children's Hospital. It's a very, very good cause, and it'll make us all much happier. Incidentally, Don and Mike, I think you're terrific on the radio. You have great wit and great energy, and you're fun to listen to. And I don't know how you do it for 3 or 4 hours like that and keep it going with that pace. You're really terrific, and I appreciate it. Everybody, have a good summer.
Thank you, Dick Van Patten. Thanks a lot, Dick.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
Well, what have we here?
You know what time it is.
It's Obama time!
Yeah, baby.
That's a great plastic tape from our donkey basketball game.
Yeah, many, many moons ago.
Mike was about 6 beers into his first 12-pack.
Yeah, we had finished the donkey basketball game, and they called us out. Wasn't it one of those deals where they said they need you to come out?
Come on back out.
We were all done, right? We had finished. And,
yeah, and that's why Mike's just doing the...
I'm in post-game.
All right.
All right.
And I remember it was natural light.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's all we have.
Yeah, it's all we have.
I'm on my second beer.
Hey, stop it now.
We were enjoying it.
Anyway, good old Dick Van Patten.
Yeah.
Yesterday he turned 79.
Wow. 79 years young. God bless him. Hope he's doing okay. Have we talked to him?
Yes.
Since
when the dog food thing went.
Oh yeah, that's right. When the dog food recall came out. Well, let's hope that if he's not there, he's got his joke on his machine.
Yes.
I also have his cell phone.
Well, that's okay. We don't have to push it.
Usually, if he's not there, Pat's there.
Sure. Like Rob was mainly bragging that he has Dick Van Patten's cell phone. Oh, hello.
Hi, this is Dick and Pat with the joke of the week. A turtle is raped by a snail. The turtle goes to the police. He said, "I was raped by a snail." The police said, "Well, can you identify the snail?" The turtle says, "No, it all happened too fast."
Jesus.
I like rape.
Hey, Dick Van Patten.
It's your friends Don and Mike.
Why do you favor rape?
Great joke.
Great joke, and happy birthday.
Happy birthday. We love you, Dick.
Yes, give us a call sometime. We'd love to see how everything's going with you, and hope you had a great birthday.
If you miss Dick.
And you miss Pat.
Leave a message.
That is that.
Great turtle rape joke.
Fantastic. One of your best ever.
Big fan.
Number one fan.
Bye, Dick.
Best to Nels, Vincent.
All of them. Tito, Jethro, all of you. Love you long time.
And Marie.
Bye, Van Pattens.
Take care.
Yeah, and what happened to Marie falling on that show? Van Patten falling on that dancing show.
We're curious about that. We know that you Mormons stay together, so please give us a call sometimes.
And say hi to Meryl.
Meryl Van Patten. Do you still have the slam, man?
Did you watch the Patriots game yesterday? Did you notice the love messages Jim Nance was sending to Tom Brady?
We know you're a big football fan. And are you still playing poker every week? And, you know, can you get us into the Playboy Mansion? All the same questions we always ask you. Best to Pat also, the matriarch of the clan.
Remember that time you gave us finger sandwiches in your living room?
We love your tennis court. The only court in the valley.
Have you seen
the only clay court, right.
Have you seen those pictures of Joan Van Ark?
Oh.
My God, Dick. Thank God you and Pat never went that route with the cut, cut, snip, snip.
No. Be true to yourselves. Right. That's the important thing.
Your dog food has killed no one.
No, and we love it. And Buzz and I both ate the Irish stew.
I could go for more.
We could eat a can of your dog food right now. And that's how good we think it is.
I wonder if you can delete these messages immediately or if this is one of those phones where you have to listen to the whole damn thing.
Until such time as we speak again, don't be sucking on any Chinese toys.
And I love turtle rape.
Funny, funny joke. What if you got that one from Dom DeLuise?
Word to your mother. Hello.
Au revoir.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
What was that?
That's like his old 1972 machine.
79 years young.
It's like Jim Rockford's machine.
He probably has the little remote control that he can call from a payphone and play a tone into it, and it'll play his message.
He's still performing, isn't he? Nobody answered that real fast.
How do you mean that?
Well, remember, he had a bit of bad luck a couple.
Well, he had a stroke.
Yeah. Some consider life to be a performance.
Yes.
According to his
IMDb,
I would
say
page,
he's still performing.
According to it. And when was the last time you went to his IMDb? Did you go today?
I did.
Because we were going
to
be talking
about
him.
I wanted to verify his age.
Right.
And he has a movie in production. I don't know if he's doing any stage work anymore, but remember, he did The Sunshine Boys last year.
He did that last year. He's got a movie in production?
Yeah.
The movie is called There's Dirt in My Mouth.
The movie's called Drool on Me. No, he sounds fine.
He did sound fine.
He's good. Still laying down the jokes.
Uh-huh. He is. As far as the Dick Van Patten jokes go, that would be among his shock jockeries.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. It happened too fast. Funny joke. Might not have won on Make Us Laugh, but it would have come close.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, Jerry from San Ramon. I saw Vince Van Patten, I guess, about 3 months ago at the Bay 101 Club. I guess he was doing a World Series of Poker thing, and he was with this gal that was a POA, I'm telling you. Yeah.
That's the Van Patten family. I mean, they're always with amazingly hot women. They're very plugged into the Hollywood lifestyle.
Did you say Vince Vaughn or Vince Van Patten?
Vince Van Patten.
Vince Van Patten. Excuse me, I'm just thinking of old doughy-eyed Vince Vaughn.
Sure.
As Fred Claus just keeps chug, chug, chugging along.
I forgot what your review was of Fred Claus.
Not bad, pretty good.
You thought it was okay, right?
It was more than okay. I like it.
More than okay.
More than okay. But you got to be a fan of Vince Vaughn.
For right. Sure.
If you don't like Vince Vaughn, winking. Are you doing the Vince Vaughn wink or what? Is that what that is? Don is winking at me. It's very, very disconcerting.
See,
Vincent
Mike,
Van Patten will not be in any feature films anytime soon. No. He was. In his day, he was.
A gay or no pay.
Oh, he's fine. Ocre
pay in the ass, eh? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Oshe Imfe. Adete.
I know that he's on a poker show. I know that he's on
the
Travel Channel poker show.
Yeah, and he's been on that for a long time. You remember when Dick Van Patten told us about that?
Right.
And that's right before poker exploded as far as TV was concerned.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello there.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great.
Hey, I'm calling from Maine. I'm a longtime listener.
Yes, great. Up.
We appreciate that.
Hey, you know what? I didn't even go through a phone screen or nothing. I just called your number, and bang, oh, here I am.
Just like Bert and I, hey. Coming up in the early morning.
You know what?
Hey, you know something?
What?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
All right, so what's happening?
Well, I got a question for you. Long-time listener, my bottle of absinthe came in the mail tonight.
Ah. Is it Absinthium 1792?
1792, what is it called? The Green Witch? No.
Green Fairy.
Green Fairy, there you go.
That's the good stuff.
I'm on my second shot of it now.
Uh-huh. How are you taking it? Are you straining it over the sugar cube?
I did the sugar cube first, pouring cold water over it, letting it dissolve.
Slowly.
And then the second one, lit on fire.
I tell you something, it's a sipping drink. Remember that, it is a sipping drink. It's
yeah,
not
you
a
do not want to do shots of this stuff. You really don't.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just taking it easy because I'm kind of nervous because listening to you guys there.
That'll be fine.
Are you by yourself?
No, my wife's on vacation, so she's here.
I think you'll be fine. Just watch out when the hallucinations come.
That's what I was wondering.
tell your wife to keep the sharp utensils away from you.
Keep the away from me, or should I keep them away from her?
Everybody.
Away from everybody, because you guys might be peeling yourself like an orange.
Put your hand in front of your face right now and see if you can see the lines.
See the lines.
And since you are up in Maine and you're drinking absinthe, might be a fun little exercise this afternoon to boil some lobsters.
Boil some lobsters? They're all frozen, dude.
Oh, you should go get some live ones.
Now,
this is the fun, my friend. You got to do something while you're drinking the absinthe.
Hey, where's Mr. Ettinger? How come he didn't answer the phone first?
Ettinger. Where is Joe Ettinger?
It's too bad you can't do something fun like go driving a school bus today.
Well, I just wanted to get some...
Too bad you can't be working the tilt-a-whirl.
You're up in the Great White North. You wouldn't have a chainsaw in the garage, would you?
I do. I got a couple of them. One of them, though, the bar's all bent to hell on it.
Well, what you want to do is have another sip of that absinthe and go out and find yourself a tree.
A big one.
A big one?
One that you'll have to put a big notch in.
Okay.
You know, make sure that you, you fell it. When you fell the tree, make sure you fell it the right way.
Because we don't want that fellet falling on you.
Well, I just wanted to just tell you guys that I was all excited. I got this stuff
so
in the mail.
Truly wasted on it. You can tell. Is there snow on the ground up in Portland?
Oh, yeah, snow. Well, we only got like 3 inches this morning, but cars off the road everywhere.
Cars off the road.
Cars are going crazy.
I've been driving all day. I drive a tanker truck, gasoline.
I'm a tanker truck. Go back to work.
I want to tell you something. There really is nothing finer, is there, my friend, than strapping yourself into a home where the weather is inclement outside. You get yourself in that bunker, and you start drinking that absinthe, and before you know it, man, are you a fan of the show Dragnet?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Do you remember Blue Boy?
Blue Boy. I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry. Blue Boy.
Before you get too effed up, go Google him.
Blue Boy.
Go Google the episode of Dragnet with Blue Boy, and it has nothing to do with the famous magazine.
Not the porno, the gay porno.
No. It's the kid that's all whacked out on something, and he paints his face blue.
It's about tripping.
Yeah, it's an anti-drug message that Jack Webb wanted to impart to everybody.
I have found the show to be hilarious when I'm effed up. I love it. I really do.
Blue Boy.
Hey, one more thing. I won't waste your time no more.
Sure, go ahead.
Years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago, Don, you was telling a story about when your car was pulled up to a garage, and you had to move somebody's car, and you backed your car out of the garage. Your garage was your sheet of ice, and your car was sliding down the driveway, and the door was open, and you was trying to hold it from sliding.
Yeah.
And the friggin' thing, you was like wearing loafers,
that was a good story, wasn't
so
it?
He is so whacked out of his mind.
That absinthe is pretty good, isn't it?
Like the folded the driver's side door right back to the front fender.
That absinthe is really outstanding, isn't it, Bill?
I see that today happened to this woman, right? Because it was all clear ice up in Vermont.
Got to let him go. He's just having all too right. good a time. Yeah, so tell us what happened.
No, I just saw that woman there. Her car was sliding backwards. She's trying to stop it from sliding.
Why don't you take a pull on the absinthe right now? Take a sip for us.
Seriously?
Yeah. Seriously?
Tastes like NyQuil.
Yeah.
Yep. There
you're
you
drinking
go.
Absinthe.
That's
the
right stuff. That's good stuff.
That woman was trying to hold it. Poor thing, I couldn't help her. She was sliding backwards on the ice.
You know what I would love to hear you? Would you sing a little Sweet Caroline?
Sweet Caroline?
You know, by Neil Diamond.
Bump, 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 Sweet Caroline. Right. Dun, dun, dun.
Good times never seem so good.
Never fade away.
That's fine.
You got to go to Fenway for that one, Don.
How much absinthe have you had so far?
I'm on my number two, guys.
Ah, you're good to go.
What's the wife doing?
She's sitting there all worried watching me because
she's all worried watching you.
They typically are. You'll be fine.
You tell her that you may attack her sexually, so she better watch you. You're going to turn into a wild man. You're going to do stuff you've never done in your... How many years you've been married, my friend?
20
years. You're going to do stuff to her tonight that you've never done before.
What's she making for supper?
Pork chops, right, honey?
You won't be hungry.
Yeah, she's making pork chops.
All inhibitions will be out the door tonight.
What are the side dishes that she's making with the pork chop?
I don't see nothing on the stove. I'm looking right at her. Ain't nothing on top.
That's all right.
What good is she then, huh? What good is she?
No, she's real good.
Oh, that's
she's
good.
She's a good girl.
Oh, that's good. You're not a violent drunk.
Oh, hell no. No, no.
Nobody is.
How is your, listen, after 20 years, how is your wife? She's still...
Beautiful.
How is she in bed?
What's that? I have to get up at like 1:30 in the morning, so...
When's the last time you guys fulfilled your marital obligations?
Oh, my God. Like... couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
How was it?
It was all right. Nothing to write into Penthouse about.
Tonight I'll change that.
I heard you say hey. You have a snowmobile?
Yes, I do.
You do? Oh, you fire it up.
You got to take that thing out.
Take
on
it out for. Take it out.
There ain't quite enough snow. Just all the yahoos, they're out hammering them now, but there ain't enough snow. You got to wait.
Yeah. So you're back. You're in the rural area, right? You're out. What are you?
Sebago Lake region.
Oh, Sebago Lake, north of Portland, right?
Just a whisker, yeah.
Right, just a whisker.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I mean, are you calling us from an A-frame? I really can't get the mental
an A-frame,
picture.
An A-frame, no. It's like a colonial.
Uh-huh. It's a colonial?
I like Don's, only not probably a quarter as fancy.
Not a quarter as fancy.
No.
That's right. You got pine trees on your lot?
Pine trees, no. They hacked them all down because the freaking pine needles kill the grass. Yeah.
Okay, you got a snowmobile.
All right, so beyond the absinthe tonight, what are your plans, my friend?
Not much. Like I said, I got to get up early. The alarm goes off at like friggin' 1:30, quarter to 2.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're not going anywhere.
You're going to have a tough time of it.
No, I'm used to it.
What time do you have to be to work in the morning?
What time do I have to be at work in the morning?
Yeah.
2:30.
2:30.
What do you do?
Haul gasoline with a tanker truck.
Oh, that's right. You told us that.
So
right.
How far do you go? How far do you travel?
Like today, what the hell did I go? 427 miles. Up into Vermont. Just dodging cars everywhere. Cars sliding off the road everywhere. Right. There.
Mike hates you truckers. You know he does.
I might have to make an exception for this guy. I really might. So you go 400 miles. So you go all over New England.
Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Yeah, Massachusetts sucks.
Isn't Tom Brady handsome?
What's that?
Isn't Tom Brady handsome?
He's a good-looking man.
You have two more absinthe. You'll think he's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life.
Let me ask you a question right now. On your second absinthe, if you had to, who would you do? Peyton Manning or Tom Brady? If you had to have sex with one of those guys.
Gay. Neither.
Neither. Okay. Well, what are you talking about?
What if you,
neither. No.
You had to.
If I hadn't, I wouldn't. I'd kill myself.
No, but you could. Here's the rule. We're playing this game.
If I was batting, you mean?
Yeah. No. Yeah. If you were batting, who would you pick? It would have to be either Peyton Manning
or Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
I'd bat Brady.
Brady.
Yeah.
And notice how quick the inhibitions dropped. And also, once it was decided that you were going to be giving, not receiving, it becomes okay.
It's okay. I think everybody in this room would probably go with Brady.
Well, most men would bat than receive.
Oh, not me.
Come on. There ain't nothing wrong with that, but not this dude here.
Oh, no. I mean, I get that sensation all the time. I want something new. I mean, if I'm gonna be forced into doing something, I wanna see what that's like.
You gotta be freaking forced hard, though.
Who would you do, Matt Damon or Ben Affleck?
Good question.
Oh, my God. What, batting?
Yes, again, batting.
Not Affleck.
Yeah, the other guy.
The other dude.
Matt Damon. You do Matt Damon.
I guess.
Rudy Giuliani or...
Why don't you ask me girls, man?
Rudy Giuliani or Thomas Menino?
I don't even know the second guy.
He's the mayor of Boston.
He is now the new guy?
Yeah.
I guess I'd do him because I like Giuliani.
You don't want to violate him?
I wouldn't want to violate Giuliani. Wow.
How about?
Put it back. He's taking sugar cubes.
What?
What's the wife saying?
Oh, the little girls. Little girls.
Oh, the kids are around watching.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, that's. Now, listen, you should be in a room by yourself. They shouldn't be watching you do this. They shouldn't be watching Daddy fall apart in front of them.
Daddy keeps it together, keeps it in control. I guess it's just like Daddy having a beer after work, right?
It is, basically, yes. Well,
only it's, you know, about 1,000 times more potent.
When Daddy gets home from work, he has a toddy.
So what time do you get home from work? You go to work at 2:30
a.m.
And then at what time do you get home from work?
I got home about 4:30, and I went out and plowed the freaking driveway, and there's a little box on the porch, and I said, yee-hoo. And,
Your absinthe was here.
I've been waiting for, like, almost 3 weeks.
Yeah. You talk so much different than we do.
That's great.
It is so funny the way you talk.
Little box on the porch, then I said, yoo-hoo.
Different.
No. You do. I love the accent.
Average Farm remembers. Sure.
So how many more are you going to have of the absent?
I'm batting with Tom Brady.
How many more?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many more?
I don't know. I'll probably have another one for supper.
Now you're tweaking it up. I love that.
And then, no, really, supper's almost ready, I guess.
All supper. Right. Yeah. And then you bend over Belichick, yeah. You bat with Belichick.
I'll have another one for supper, and then, you know, get to sleep. Sleep for 3 hours and hit the road again.
Yeah, hit the road and hammer it in all day long.
That's right. All day long, go to Vermont, Massachusetts. You don't like Massachusetts, though.
No, I don't.
No, the roads aren't as good, are they?
The roads are good, but freaking people, man.
I'll take you to the big dig. I'll show you a big dig. I tell you what, Tom, I'll give you a big dig, Tom Brady. I'll be the bat in your Boston big dig.
Hey, but
I'll give you the bat of the garden.
No joking aside.
I got a wicked good D.
How about them Patriots, though, huh?
Yeah,
hey,
how about
they're
them?
Wicked good, huh?
Wicked good.
There's a guy, I don't know who the hell he is, but he's got a Patriots car. He drives around. He's got, like, little helmets all over the top of it, like all these different numbers of the players on these helmets, and he's got these lights. And I feel bad for him. He's probably, like, the biggest fan there ever was.
I've heard of him. His name's Jeff Lockridge.
It's like this little, like $150 Subaru car. It's all painted up. I feel bad for him. Yeah. He's probably so proud of it.
Yeah,
but
he's not bad.
Hold on. Don't say the S word. When I returned, Mary Jo was gone, and this man said the S bomb.
Mary Jo and the cat were gone. Oh, God.
But he was the right turn greenies, and the front wheels are spinning like 150 miles an hour, and he's not even moving.
I tell you what, we really should get like pennies on the bottle that this stuff is sold.
We should.
We really should.
Look at all of the satisfied customers that this guy has.
You know, you guys, I went up. You know when I heard it was the night before Thanksgiving, I believe, when you guys were putting it to you.
How would you rate the experience of drinking absinthe on a scale of 1 to 10? How's it making you feel?
What, right now, all by myself?
Yes.
With wife and the kids looking at me?
Yes. How's it making you feel?
I'm half done number two.
Right.
And I'm relaxed.
That's it. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm relaxed.
Uh-huh.
Did you say you're half done number? Oh, I get it. Half done number two, drink.
The second drink, yes.
The first one, I dumped cold water over the sugar cube.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then the second one, I lit on fire.
Well, why'd you light it on fire?
Because there's two. It came with a couple, two or three pieces of paper about Van Gogh doing all this stuff.
Hey, don't forget, one of those dudes cut their ear off.
That's right,
Van Gogh. Man.
Yeah. So
there's another fellow. Right?
He's wicked good there. He's a good drawer.
So what did you do after you lit it on fire?
He draws good pictures.
You dump you dunk it in the thing, and then you let it soak up the alcohol, and then you light it on fire.
The sugar cube.
And yeah, the sugar cube, and then you after the fire, I couldn't believe it. You just the flame of my lighter didn't even get within 3 inches of that sugar cube, and poof, it goes up, right?
Sure does.
Like it. Well, I wish we had more time. We got to play spots.
Good luck, and make sure you get plenty of sleep before you go out on your run.
There ain't no such thing as plenty of sleep.
All right, well, just be careful.
Give your wife the high hard one.
The high hard one.
Yeah. You just make sure that you behave yourself after you have your third one, all right?
I will.
Now up to bat, Tom Brady.
And you enjoy your supper.
Hey, I love you guys.
Love you.
Choke up on the bat.
I want to come visit you guys so I can go bat.
Bring your fuel truck down here to Washington.
I will.
All righty.
Get your hands off my resin bag. Step off the mound.
Rosin bag.
Rosin.
You know, it's all moving in that direction. I know you're dying to say something, aren't you? He just gets right back to the Red Sox. And, of course, we're talking about who's the batter and who's the catcher. And you got to say it. Go ahead. Let it out of your system.
I've already thrown it out there.
Yaz is a fag.
Didn't I already mention Yaz?
Not bad.
No. No? No. Oh, well, then Yaz is a fag.
There it is.
You were thinking it.
Yeah, home run.
Captain Fisk,
baby. Captain Fisk, absolutely.
He's no fag.
1975.
Did you know that Yaz was a fag?
No. I saw Yaz up to Popham Beach when we were striper fishing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Big giant. I felt bad. A big giant crowd was all gathered because he's a big fisherman,
right
up there, and. He just put his boat in the water, and we're putting ours out, taking ours out.
Big sure, you were crowd. Taking yours out.
Yeah, big giant crowd all gathered around Yaz. And
look at Yaz the fag. Let's take ours out.
I wanted to go see what he's doing, but he was surrounded by people. them are fighting words.
Yes, why he likes to say him.
I said he's a gay icon.
Oh my God.
Say it again. All right, listen, we got to go, friend.
Take care, you fellas.
Okay,
you are
take
wicked
care.
Good, thank you.
Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Hang up.
There he goes.
Wow. Life in these United States.
Fantastic. A little slice of New England.
You know, he was a lot more put together at the front of that call than at the end.
Yeah, he was.
He really sort of fell apart.
Yeah, absent. When did he get to his third?
Uh-huh. We got to break. Have to be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that some slight provision be made for the poor and destitute.
Many thousands are in want, sir, in need of common necessaries. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comforts, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are, though I wish with all my heart they were not.
I was afraid, from what you said at first, that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course.
Under the impression these places can scarcely furnish Christmas cheer for the mind and body of the multitude, a few of us have endeavored to form a fund for the poor, to buy them food and drink and means of warmth. What can I put you down for, sir?
Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, gentlemen, that is my answer. I help to support the institutions I mentioned. They cost enough. And those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there. And many would rather die.
If they'd rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
See ya.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now listen, that's
the 9/11 of fun.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's Old Man Scrooge. Right.
That's the good one. That's the one. That's the black and white one.
And I'm telling you, we got money to give away this week. We have got big Christmas bucks this week. But first, on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com, message board, you heard the fiasco with that. We're getting that fixed.
Uh-huh.
That should be up by the time we get back from our holiday vacation.
Good.
So for now, we got a website that has no message board. So be it. That's cool. We do have the picture of the Liddies, of Mr. and Mrs. Liddy.
Very good.
Up on the front page. And I'm guessing this. This reeks of Rob.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautifully written.
Right.
A holiday message from Don and Mike, front page of our website. Mm-hmm. It's a picture of the two of them, and it says, at this most festive time of year, the Don and Mike Show reminds you to celebrate with your family, and above all, remember and honor the sanctity of marriage and the vows made before God. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
There you go, Robbie. Nice. God there you go.
God bless you, Rob.
I love Christmas.
A little Christmas message. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
That's too great.
That is the picture we stumbled upon when you were going through your boxes of stuff the other day.
Oh, that's right.
Hold on. Let me make a quick call.
Just, it's a lovely picture.
I want to call down to South Carolina. A lot of odds and ends done here. My son, the fifth-year college senior,
right,
is preparing for his exams.
Ooh.
He's got one more semester coming up. Hey, hola, what's happening, bud?
Oh, nothing, Pop. I'm just working on an exam.
I know you're in the middle of this stuff. I just wish you would tell everybody. We were talking over the weekend about Bart's got his exams here, and then he's got to go back in January, and he's got like one more credit, one more class. It's one of those things. He's got one last thing he's got to do.
One more class?
Right. Is that what it is, Bart?
I think I'm going to need 3 hours in the spring.
All right, so.
That's nothing. That's pretty good, though. Three credit hours you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So we were thinking about what other classes he could take that might interest him to fill out his day for his last semester of college before he graduates. And he gave me two. He's not going to take these, but these are two that they offer at Clemson University. Lay them on me, Barty.
Well, I was just poking around. I'm pretty much done with all the English courses I wanted to take, so I was looking at the theater courses, and they have a course title that's called Special Topics here.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it's something that, like, the seniors, it changes every semester, and the seniors get to choose. So the first one is Stage Combat.
Stage Combat.
Cool.
Yeah, which is closed, unfortunately. But the second one I really wanted to take is...
Wait, explain that one to me. That's like how to take a pratfall.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically fighting on stage.
Right. Then listen to this other class, though, that they offer.
But the other one's still open, Study and Construction of Women's Undergarments. I just heard Easy A.
Oh, hello.
Can you imagine that?
Now, can you get into that one?
I mean, it's open. It doesn't say you have to be a theater major. So I guess technically, yeah, I could add it right now.
The magic, Study and Construction of Women's Undergarments.
The magic of being a fifth-year senior. He called me up and he said,
he'll learn how to design lingerie.
It could come in handy.
That's fantastic.
Good to have something to fall back on.
Anyway, all right, bud. We'll get back to your studying, and we'll see when you get home for your break this weekend.
Yes, sir.
All right, love you, son. See you
later. Love you too, Bob. Bye.
There he goes. Stage Combat is funny,
that's
too.
Cool.
Call me up Stage yesterday. Combat. Filling out my schedule. I'm thinking how to take a pratfall. And then also, design of women's underwear. Thinking,
that sounds like what we used to call a gut. Well, you know, it probably, sometimes when you sneak into those kind of courses, you get the professor who says, I know a lot of you thought that this would be a very fun and unique. However, we take it very seriously.
Yeah.
And you know at that moment, you're dead. Because the professor will suck all the fun,
so to speak,
out of that class.
Because you know what he thought? He thought it would be like the Victoria's Secret ads on TV.
Right.
That chicks with fake wings would come in and go,
it's like,
look at my bra.
We'd like to bring in our model, Christy. Christy's going to show you the latest undergarment that we have modeling for you.
Oh, that boy cracks my ass.
It's how to sew and how to become a stuntman.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Howdy.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Jerry from San Ramon. Hey, real quick, Bart should just take one of those those life form drawing classes where you get a nude model in, and that's a great course. It only lasts for like 2-3 months.
And incidentally, that's how the beginning of Hostel 2 starts too. They're sitting there; the girls are exchange students, and they're
I've seen that. You know why?
They're
because
taking they're drawing the nude models.
I've only seen it because you see the first 5 minutes for free.
That's right. It's just at the very beginning.
I've also seen the first 5 minutes of Transformers,
and the girl that's the real evil girl that lures them all into the hostel is one of the nude models. That's one of the things I enjoy about Hostel, though. Some decent nudity in there.
Hey, so what's happening? What's up? Hello?
Well, he was just suggesting what the course was. That,
all right, was that
you know, the nude modeling.
Right.
Incidentally, you know, do they really have courses where, I mean, I don't care whether it's college or whether you're taking a night course where you can actually draw naked people?
Yes, they do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Really?
Hell, Frida used to take some of those classes.
Well, I wouldn't mind taking one.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
How I made a living.
I got a question for Mike.
Yes, I'm here.
I heard you a couple segments ago mention that you liked girls that are fit.
Well, I like those shows where they have, like, the Miss Fitness USA. If they're not too muscle-bound, I think it's interesting.
Don't you like all the girls who look like Jim Carrey on In Living Color?
There was a picture. I forgot where it was. It might have been Maxim magazine where I was watching this picture. Or it might have been on the internet. And the caption was, "This is a monster." And it showed this lady, and she was just, first of all, she has a heinous face. And she is she looks like Lou Ferrigno.
Right.
When
that
Lou Ferrigno was competing in Mr. America. I mean, it's disgusting. Well, what were you going to say about my love of fit women?
I was going to ask if you have ever seen American Curves for Men magazine.
American Curves?
For Men, yep.
American Curves
Men. It's all beautiful fitness models. You got to check it out.
Send me a copy.
Well, my Christmas is right around the corner. You know,
everybody knows what I want.
We like buying your magazines.
Sure. Magazines.
Jesus Christ.
I can't wait for magazines.
Something that will be in a magazine. This is an awful segue, but People Magazine is announcing this week something that we had kind of alluded to last week. Regis Philbin has announced he's got his brand-new contract.
Right.
And starting in January, he's going to be working 3 days a week.
He has the three-day work week.
This is now, this has been finalized by People Magazine. Regis Philbin says exclusively he will be transitioning to three-day work weeks starting in January.
Oh, that's a drag.
Yeah.
It really is a drag. And it's not a drag for any other reason that when he's not there, they make no effort to get either a regular replacement host for him or...
You're complaining about Ted McGinley?
Yeah. Ted McGinley.
Sam Champion.
Mario Lopez. I mean, Jesus.
Mark Consuelos.
They bring these Ken dolls in that I guess Gelman wants to do, and they're not bringing anybody on. You know, how about... Here's a novel concept.
What?
How about bringing on somebody who's funny, who's not the male model like Ted McGinley? How about actually bringing somebody in who's entertaining? I mean, you're going to have Regis there for three. Guess Regis is so scary funny. No, Regis is just funny because he's Regis.
Regis is Regis, and it's just, it's sad that he, I think he still wants to, I mean, I don't know.
I think it's the heart attack. I think the heart attack, he's cutting back his schedule because he's, you know, he was probably told to, said he ought to go a little easier. But you know what? You know, along with that, I think it would be more genuine if he wasn't rolling up to the Poconos, you know, to do his little stage show up there. You know, that's
we're going to Niagara Falls.
I know.
Joy and I will be in Albuquerque, New Mexico this weekend at the Indian Casino.
Join us in Toronto, Canada. We will not be here, but it should be very. So now we're going to. Now, do you think this is going to be all replacement hosts, or will he tape two like he did for today's show, or
People,
what?
People Magazine says he will work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. She will have guest hosts Thursday and Friday.
Right. They've got to do, don't you agree, they've got to do a little something different than if you're going to have 2 days a week now with guest hosts.
And it can't be Anderson Cooper 2 days a week. And it can't be.
Why? These pretty men. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I mean, because they've had, like, they had one time, I think, when Dana Carvey was on one time. And even Dana Carvey, although he hasn't been happening in a while, Dana Carvey was better. Then, you know, I like people that give her a little bit of a hard time. That's what I enjoy.
Sajak? Kind of funny.
Pat Sajak, no.
Pat Sajak, please.
Pat Sajak is not a funny guy.
I'd rather have to watch Wheel of Fortune than watch Pat Sajak on the Regis show.
Howie Mandel at least comes to play, at least makes a little bit of an effort to be funny and irreverent, you know.
Who's the worst of the rotating cast? Is it Ted McGinley, do you think?
No, Ted McGinley's not on off enough. Sam Champion.
Sam Champion.
Champion going away. If Sam Champion, Don, we're the same way with that one. If Sam Champion is on.
TV's off.
It doesn't even, I look at him or I hear his name.
They say it now. Here's Kelly Ripa with Sam Champion. And she comes out, she just says, isn't he gorgeous?
Oh, or boy. Mark Consuelos, who does not deserve to be on that show at all.
I would like to see that show with her husband if he had the balls to say, even that much what it was really like to live with the prize that is Kelly Ripa.
The diva. The diva.
It would be great one morning if you turn on TV, he's like, well, Regis has got the day off, and I just thought I'd tell you, it's not easy being Mr. Kelly Ripa. You know, I had a career before you started, and incidentally, what happened to your boobs, Peter Pan?
It will never happen because they're too busy doing the Mickey Mouse Club there. That's what that's what they're trying to do.
Did you hear her today talking about how tough she's going to have it? She has to keep working because her kids have to go to college.
Right.
Yeah.
Poor Kelly Ripa.
She's kind of slamming Mark Consuelos when he does that. But really, when you see Mark Consuelos, he is also Mario Lopez has a better career than Mark Consuelos, you know?
True.
And he still does the little thing, you know. Mark Consuelos would be good on that show twice a year during a cooking segment. That would be interesting.
Mark Consuelos would be good if they ever just wanted to have what is Kelly Ripa really like. I mean,
where he really let it all go.
Hey, come on. And I'm not talking about,
I mean, just they're a normal
married
couple. I'm
not talking about shocking stuff. I'm talking about, isn't it great when Regis's wife calls up?
Yes.
Or when she's on the phone and she says something like, hey, incidentally, do you know that you snore all night long?
Yeah, simple stuff. It doesn't have to be very, but he really doesn't do any of that. It's always the sweetness and light, and even when he is trying to be irreverent. You sense the fear. Yeah.
Anyway, good
you
for
sense
Regis.
The fear.
Good for Regis. Good for Regis. Take the money, because God knows if you didn't take the money in the 3-day week, they would prop you up there until you were dead, and the gunman would be working you like a ventriloquist dummy.
Well, think of it. He's making up for all his lost time when Joey Bishop was pounding on him. I mean, that was where Regis probably wanted to be part of the Rat Pack,
and
Joey Bishop was the member of the Rat Pack who was the guy that got put down, and he took that out on Regis.
Think about Regis, that bastard. He just now is getting payback for being stepped on by Hollywood 40 years ago.
Right? Exactly.
And it's right as he's about to see the light.
The bright
That's
light.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes in show business sometimes. To all a lesser extent, Larry King.
Hold on. We got to. Aye, aye. This clock is out of control tonight. Buzz, it's time for the news.
Being careful, it's very important to me. That's right. Because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Of course, Buzz is.
Being careful.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
That's right.
Hello, Buzz.
Hi. Before the news, let me offer this to you folks on behalf of everyone with the Don and Mike Show. Not a gag like Make Us Laugh. We got leftover money at the end of the year that if we don't give away,
they take it from us.
Company takes back. We're going to go to break now and come back. We'll take caller 100 877 365 3636. Only if you've listened to the entire show today.
That's right, because we're going to ask you a question.
I have a question about something that we talked about in the opening hour of the show.
You have to have listened all day.
One person, one question, $1,000.
$1,000? Wow!
Yeah. Right now, phone number 877-365-3636. We'll give away $1,000 every day this week.
Employees of the show not eligible. Damn it.
Anyway, Buzz.
Yes.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Still. You got news, right? And
I
we
do.
We've not even gone into it today. Hmm? Mike Vick goes to jail. I mean, he's there.
I'll tell you all
23
about
months, right?
Got a much longer sentence than anybody thought he would
I'll
get
tell you why. Six.
Okay, we'll be right back with Buzz and call 100.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. Uh-huh. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
They poke the bear. Don and Mike.
Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto.
Happy f***ing Hanukkah. The Don and Mike Show.
Go straight to the
ghetto. Want the chance to give away some big money here.
How many?
Santa Claus. Our last week of new shows for the year of 2007. It seems like 1997.
Uh-huh. Seems like 1997 was just yesterday.
We got $1,000 right now, just ahead of Buzz's news and comments. For a random caller who can answer a pretty simple question about today's show. Good. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. What's your name?
Natalie.
Where are you from, Natalie?
I'm from Springfield, Virginia.
Beautiful. You've been listening to the whole show today?
I have.
Are you feeling lucky, Natalie?
I don't know. I've been listening to the whole show. I haven't even left my desk.
This will be very easy then. You're a random caller number 100.
Yay.
And we'll give you $1,000. All you have to do is say, tell us, say what happened that ruined Rob's weekend with his kids.
Oh, shoot. I don't know. Oh.
You don't even want to try a guess?
They were there.
Oh, no, not
boy,
thinking of.
Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Not good
oh,
at all.
Boy. Sorry, that was an easy one.
Listening to the whole show.
How could you possibly?
Not leaving her desk. That was a big part of the opening.
Must have nodded off.
Perhaps she was having a BM.
A nice one.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Okay. The answer, of course, was disappointed at the airport. Mm-hmm. With Santa Claus, with the whole thing with the plane not really taking the kids to the North Pole.
We would have accepted People Mover.
Let's try another one. Hello there. Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing very well. Who's this?
This is Jay.
Jay, have you listened to the whole show today?
I have.
Really?
Yep.
Did you know the answer to the question about Rob?
I didn't hear the question.
I don't know if we can trust that.
And I didn't.
All right, you've been listening to the whole show today.
Yes. I heard the thing in the beginning about Rob. Is this about the Santa flight?
All right, good. He was listening. Then here's another question for you.
What's your question?
What store did Janet and I go to where a gypsy gave us a card and had a Louis Vuitton bag?
Costco.
Costco!
Winner.
Costco is the big winner. $1,000.
Wow, all right. That's awesome. Cool.
$1,000.
Thank you very much.
That's how easy it was. We'll try to come up with something a little slicker for tomorrow's show.
Very good.
But hey, why not reward the people that have been listening the whole show?
I agree.
Show?
And that person obviously has been listening. He knew both the Rob question and the question about where you guys went to the store.
Boy, I feel sorry for that lady. That was an easy one, the Rob one.
But I mean, what surprised me is if she was listening to the whole show and didn't leave her desk, she couldn't have even been in the ballpark with that. I didn't get that. I don't feel that strongly about it.
Well, her loss, your game, my friend. What's your name again?
My name is Jay.
All right, Jay.
You got some WAVA, four-hour club member.
Beautiful. Love hearing that. Well, Jay, you got $1,000, and we do thank you so much for listening to the show.
That's awesome. Thank you.
That's got to be the $1,000 you ever made.
Yes, that's right.
He's beside himself with excitement.
Gotcha. We'll give away $1,000 every day this week.
$1,000. Dollars. $1,000.
And we will do games and stuff, so it's not always just call in and prove you listen to the whole show.
The game for $1,000.
$1,000.
Dollars is nothing like dollars.
$1,000.
That's a lot of dollars.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Continuously. Hi.
Hi.
Michael Vick was sentenced today to spend the next 23 months behind bars for the dog fighting and the dog killing. Now, 23 months is more than the federal guidelines recommend, but it's far less than the five-year minimum.
Now, I was reading about this when it happened. The prosecutors had said that they thought 12 to 18 months
would be
a decent sentence.
Right.
So the judge gave them 23 months. And Buzz, I'll be filling the blanks.
All right.
Part of that is because he failed a test for weed.
Uh-huh.
Part of that is because he's not rolled over and given as much information as he said he would.
Yeah, Vic was even chewing gum when he came to court today, and before reporting to prison, he did fail a drug test and then lied about it to the court. That didn't set well with the judge.
What, today?
He didn't lie today. He lied previous to this. The drug
test. I thought you were saying, but he came to court today chewing gum?
17 days after the judge ordered him to stay away from drugs, he tested positive for marijuana and then lied about it to another court official.
So he gets, 23 months?
23 months. More than he expected.
And he won't serve all of that, right?
You know, he'll get some time off for good behavior, but it just shows in this world of news cycles where everybody thinks they know everything right away. Think back even to a couple of weeks ago where they were saying when Michael Vick went in voluntarily early
to get on the judge's good side.
There were some scribes and some talking heads that were saying he'll get out with time, serve for good behavior, and be back playing in the NFL next year.
But the thing is, also, if you remember way back when they were talking about the potential, you know, sentences that of 25 years that he could have gotten for this.
Right.
I mean, they were talking about that way back when this news story first broke.
Well, doesn't he still have some charges?
Virginia charges he has to deal with.
He does. Still estate charges that could add up to the 5 years. The judge today could have sentenced Michael Vick to 5 years. He sentenced him to only 23 months, which was more than Vick expected, but far short of the 5 years because with the state charges, Vic could end up spending 5 years behind bars.
Yeah, I had heard that they sentenced him to more than the average. And I'm like, the average? Is there a really big average for people going around having dogs chomping on each other?
I hadn't heard average. I'd heard the recommended minimum. There are recommended minimum sentences for cases like this. And this sentence is more than that, but less than what it could have been.
And I think it's what you say, cases like this.
Right.
You know, similar areas of the law.
Doesn't come up a lot. The judge said today that he's not convinced that Vic has yet totally accepted responsibility for his actions. Vic's lawyer, by the way, says he hopes the 27-year-old star player will be given a second chance when he returns to his life and to football. And by the way, Georgia is now the only state in the union where dogfighting is still legal. There are people there working to change that.
All right.
The talks between the people who write our TV shows and their bosses broke down and broke off Friday night. So,
Pixie.
So it now appears that the 07-08 TV season has died on the operating table. The talks might resume after January 1st, but by then it'll be too late to salvage this season.
That's good news for TVO. That's what I'm calling radio now. We're going to change the name.
I like it.
Because it's TV without pictures. Mm-hmm. Being as is the writer's strike, we're now on TVO.
And everybody on the show, and I mean everybody, including Joe Artinger, get writing. Get writing now.
CBS presents TVO.
I like it.
Not TiVo. Uh-huh. Not TV. Uh-huh. Not radio. TVO. TVO.
Coming in 08, our first sitcom. It's going to be funnier than The King of Queens.
Cool.
Impossible.
Now, not only are the February sweeps out of the question for your favorite dramas and comedies, they won't even be ready by May now. The networks have contingency plans, of course. Fox will do well with American Idol right on schedule, but reality shows will fill up the schedules on all the channels, and with a few exceptions, most of them are just Idol wannabes.
Hey, Buzz, you're an aficionado of TV as I am.
Yes.
Aren't you kind of like me, and don't most of you folks listening feel the same way? There's a couple of shows on that you really got to see. But TV, network TV, what we're talking about now, I mean, I watch sports, I watch news, I watch movies.
National Geographic, the Learning Channel, that kind of crap that's on there.
I don't watch a lot of stuff that's on the big networks to begin with.
Right.
So if there's not going to be another season of Back to You,
right,
or Prison Break,
we're okay with that.
Or Jericho.
Do you think this strike is going to do what it did to baseball when they struck baseball?
Yeah. You know what? This is half a brain working with half a brain, Mike. That's exactly the point that I was going to go to. You know, you get to a point with the baseball strike, casual fans like myself said, I got better stuff to do.
Right.
I mean, and on my TV, I'm not going to say I'm giving up on TV.
No, of course not.
I got a lot more choices besides.
There's so much programming now. I mean, there's so many different, and not just, you know, the type of programming you see on movie channels, but just the networks that seem to spring up every single day, you know, the new channels that you have, and there's, you know, they're not putting crap on them. You know,
right,
you know,
true.
I mean, they're putting some, and this isn't reality programming like The Amazing Race. No. This is reality programming like, following a homicide detective the first 48 hours, which I find pretty interesting
or
to watch that kind of programming.
Something on the Discovery Channel like, how do they make it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, I'll watch a show about how an automatic transmission is made.
Sure.
I did.
And the people at the Food Network are high-fiving each other.
God, I'm a loser. I watched that show about how an automatic transmission is made.
Oh, that's interesting.
I really did.
Well, at least you didn't see how to make biscuits with Alton Brown, you know, which I watched.
I bet he makes biscuits.
But those people are high-fiving each other right now because it couldn't come at a better time for them.
I did learn all about ovaries, though.
That's the one I want to see.
But I was watching that reproductive special on the National Geographic
the
channel.
Reproductive special. I can see you just lingering on that. I bet you didn't flip around that much, did you?
Stayed on it, Mike.
Wow.
This is, I think, what will come out of it is people's viewing habits will change. They may come back to network TV for stuff they really like The Office or Boston Legal or House. But for the most part, the rest of network TV kind of sucks, and I think we'll change our viewing habits and won't really miss it that much.
And it will beg the question for all these writers, really, at this point, you have to look at the writers and producers.
Right.
Was it worth it? Was it worth it to have this impasse, to have this incredible? I think, obviously, the producers are saying it, hey, it doesn't matter to us.
And it depends on the producer, but yeah, to some degree. I think both sides, the network certainly, and the writers may regret this day.
Then I would finally ask you, Buzz, when do you think all of your guys, Letterman, Leno, Conan O'Brien, when do they all jump back into it?
I think sometime after I think mid-January probably, just after the first of the year. I think they're going to have to. They've lost too much audience and they can't afford to lose any more. And all of this is very bad news for new promising shows like Chuck and Pushing Daisies. Despite the promise they've shown in
please,
the ratings.
Those shows suck. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. They're doing very well in the ratings. They've gathered quite a following.
Up, Chuck.
Considering the short amount of time they've been on.
You know the show that you would like, that I really think you would like? Is Dexter on Showtime.
Yeah, you would.
That show rocked, and it's got its finale coming up next week.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man, thank God for that show on Sunday night. That was another go-to show that they had, and I love that show. I really, really do.
So Kiefer Sutherland picked a good time to go to jail. We'll tell you what his jail life is like when we continue.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I will not let you rape me.
Skidmark time. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You, me, bar, beers, buzz.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
When I was a little boy. There is a vulgar element involved with the Don and Mike Show.
Save the Buzz brought to you by Mervis Diamond Importers at eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance with a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamond.com. That's www.e-diamonds.com. Call 1-800-HER-LOVE. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
How are you anyway?
I'm great. Keith Sutherland, not so much. He picked a good time to go to jail, though, and there he...
Shut up!
He's apparently being treated just like any other prisoner.
Shut up, stupid!
Except that he gets to shower alone. Officials at the Glendale City Jail...
Showering alone got the drum roll. That's it. Whenever I mention showering alone, it always gets to that.
Okay. Retro Friday Groaner.
Oh, no. I hope you can live with that.
Showering alone.
Officials of the Glendale City Jail.
But these are extraordinary circumstances.
The officials of the jail say Kiefer's obviously not happy about being there.
It's just you and me.
But they say he's cooperating and carrying out his duties, working in the laundry and delivering meals.
I don't believe this.
I know. It's 24 times 2 for Jack Bauer.
I'm tired of putting my ass on the line for nothing.
You're just serving
I'm
dinner.
I'm done putting my ass on the line for nothing.
A little laundry.
He's not happy to be there, Buzz.
Clearly.
Try to shoot me. I will have to shoot you back, and I promise I won't miss.
You don't even have a gun, Keith.
You do this job long enough, you're going to have to make choices. And you don't know you've made the right one until the whole scenario plays itself out.
You don't have a gun, but you could get your hands on maybe a towel.
We don't know. We just don't. What are you talking about?
A towel.
You probably don't think that I could force this towel down your throat.
You're in the laundry.
But trust me, I can. All the way. Except I hold on to this one little bit at the end. When your stomach starts to digest it, I pull it out, taking your stomach lining with it. Most people, they take about a week to die. It's very painful.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
What time is it?
It's Obama time.
Yeah, baby.
Stay where you are. Everything's going to be fine.
It's 24 times 2 for Jack Bauer. He's doing 48 days for DUI and...
I don't believe this.
...for violating probation on a...
You should let me kill him when I had the chance.
...on a previous DUI.
Did you get that?
He's bitter at fans for taking the pictures that put him behind bars.
There's no lawyer. It's just you and me.
And Daniel Baldwin...
You cannot have a normal life and do this job at the same time.
So that's what got him locked up, that he had people take pictures?
He made a U-turn after he was leaving a Fox ceremony,
right.
Remember? And some fans were out front. They took a picture on a camera cell phone, and he's commented about that. He said, my fans have screwed me. And he says, no more autographs because of that.
Okay.
And Daniel Baldwin's wanted again. He didn't post Friday in the Los Angeles courtroom for a progress report on his drug rehabilitation. He's also missed some AA meetings. Daniel's reportedly in Canada shooting a movie, even though he wasn't supposed to leave the country.
Come on, Danny.
Well, there were more deadly shootings.
He's like the Eli Manning, isn't he?
Baldwins, yeah, he truly is. He's the one Baldwin.
No matter what he can do,
yeah.
Peyton is always going to be Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, but the other brothers are able to deal with the fact that Peyton is the big guy. Daniel seems to have more trouble.
Having trouble coping.
But he's a fan of this show.
Hi, Daniel.
Daniel Baldwin, that's right, one of the few... Let's use that word loosely, celebrities.
Yes.
That's ever called in to say, hey, I'm listening, I dig the show.
Hey, I like the show, guys. Where's my crystal meth?
There were more deadly shootings in the U.S. yesterday, both of them at church buildings in Colorado. Shootings occurred about 70 miles from each other and about 12 hours apart with different weapons, but the same shooter. We now know it's 20-year-old Matthew Murray. The first shooting was at a missionary training center in Arvada, just outside of Denver. There, the 24-year-old male fired a handgun when he was told he couldn't spend the night at that location. That was at 12:30. Two people were killed. The shooter got away. Then at 1 p.m. on Sunday, a man with a rifle walked into the New Life Church in Colorado Springs and started firing. Two people were killed and four others wounded before a security guard shot and killed our shooter. We don't yet know why smoke bombs were found on the church grounds. The feds have joined in the investigation. By the way, the New Life Church was in the news last year when its founder, Ted Haggard, was fired after being outed by a male prostitute.
So the thing that was curious about this church has an armed security guard on the premises?
Apparently not
a sermon, just a thought.
I thought that was great. The security guard, prevented a lot of other people from being killed.
Absolutely, being claimed a hero and a lifesaver today.
Praise God.
Speak for yourself, Mike. I know I share your sentiments, and I know Rob does.
Yes.
However, there's someone on the other side of the room. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you'd find God if I was in a foxhole with you, Buzz.
Amen.
Let me just point out it happened at church.
That's right.
But let me just take this moment.
Seriously, kudos to that security guard.
Of course.
Let's take a moment to spotlight a true American hero.
I don't know if too many people gave us a shot to be at this, you know, at this position.
I'd be in a foxhole with this man.
You know, and it says a lot about this team. I'm feeling good about my decision to come back, obviously.
Not even mentioned today. They're 11-2, everybody.
This is BF.
Of course it's BF.
You know, it sure makes it look like the right decision, but...
BFF, Brett Favre forever.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's where I say this every week, is where we go from here. But
Brett Favre,
you know,
dominates.
I had a lot of confidence in his team.
BFD.
Or I wouldn't have said that this is the most talented team I've ever played on. But
that's all right. I call Yaz a fag.
Brett Favre delivers.
And at Disney
BFD, I get jokes, Mike.
It's funny. At Disney World in Florida.
We, at times, put it together and we see what we can do. You know, we are inexperienced at times.
I love you in a way, Brett, that Jim Nance does not love Tom Brady. Mm.
Brett Favre, destroyer.
I get it. BFD.
BFD.
Okay. Funny.
Clever.
Funny. Like big effing deal.
Exactly.
Big flippin' deal.
Flippin'.
At Florida's Disney World, a 63-year-old woman's been arrested for bringing a semi-automatic pistol into the park.
Where?
Disney World in Florida.
Oh. Disney World.
Hello.
Guards found the gun in her purse at the gate while they were admitting her and her family. It was a .32-caliber Beretta loaded with 7 live rounds. The chamber itself was empty. She also had a switchblade in her purse, this 63-year-old woman. Marianne Richardson of Nicholson, Pennsylvania, says she carries the weapons with her at all times and had forgotten they were still in her purse.
I'm about to go on the teacup.
Unfortunately, Marianne doesn't have a permit to carry a concealed weapon, so that's the criminal charge.
She ought to go to Edelman's in New York City. They get permits for every business.
The president gets a surprise phone
call.
You
can tell when Mike is reading the New York Post during the show.
Daily News, Don.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me.
Edelman's.
A good paper.
Edelman's will get you your security permits.
Mike is such an old man. He's sitting there reading the paper, doing things. He's licking his finger. He's tearing the page, and he says to me, I tell you what, you need a gun. Get your ass to New York City, my friend.
Business carry permits guaranteed. Don't let your business be next. Personal, 4 free ranges, armed guards. Call us 24/7. The original since 65. Protect yourself. Edelman's Pistol Permit Services.
And I thought that they made that wonderful coffee cake.
That's
Entenmann's.
Entenmann's.
The president gets a surprise phone call when we continue.
What?
What was that?
A surprise phone call for the president.
What was that? I heard Entenmann's and I went the clunt.
Surprise phone call from the president?
That's right.
Oy vey.
Fancy digs you got here.
There he is.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They haven't killed anybody. Yet. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I don't want to forget this either.
Happy f***ing Hanukkah. The Don and Mike Show.
What are you doing?
I'm showing you the pocket. It's got the special pocket just for my cell phone. Did you see it labeled?
You got a... Inside your jacket, there's a pocket that says, what, cell phone?
It's not a picture. It's a picture of a cell phone.
Uh-huh.
Shows me where to
so
put
you
it.
No, like a puzzle.
See?
Well, that's excellent.
Well, isn't that
great?
Isn't that nice, Mongo?
Isn't that great? It's a little picture. It's got the where I put my cell phone.
Huh? Mongo Lloyd.
You should see the picture on his toilet.
Go here. It's just a picture of a butt with little things coming out.
That's right.
Hey, guys, Jim Nance.
Hey, Jim.
Tom, I'll draw you a picture where to go.
Yes, you will. Yeah, baby.
God, I just heard that thing. Did you put that on the website?
I did.
That's what we were hearing in the background, Mike. We kept hearing over and over again from the back room.
This.
There. I guess you put that as how sad that is. That's the best moment of today's show.
Oh, I think that is a delight.
This. Hello, friend.
All I heard was us retooling on Jim Nance and Tom Brady over and over during the commercials. Rob downloading the thing to the internet.
That is top-notch comedy.
Acting crazy now, I think.
Sure is.
Right. Hi. Buzz?
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi. If you could call President Bush's super secret White House telephone number, what would you say? a 16-year-old high school.
I would say, number one fan, you're doing a super job.
Number one fan.
That's
number
what I'd say. Fan. A 16-year-old high school student.
Love the Jim Nance bit. Number one fan.
Number one fan. Got to run.
Number one fan.
16-year-old high school student in Iceland says he's had that number since he was 11 or 12. He says he
love the weapons of mass destruction. Number one fan.
Number one fan.
Got to run.
Love all the mistakes you make during speeches where you screw them up. Number one fan.
Axis of evil. He says he doesn't remember who gave him the phone number. Anyway, last week, this boy decided to give Bush a call. He pretended he was the president of Iceland. Quoting the boy, "I just wanted to have a chat, invite him to Iceland, and see what he'd say." The president didn't answer the phone, of course. White House staffers did, and they began quizzing the caller about things only the president of Iceland would know, like his birthday, which the boy had no trouble finding on Wikipedia. Bush's secretary told the boy the president would call him back, but instead, men in black showed up at the boy's house and took him away for
George
hours.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
And hours of questioning.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy.
Well, finally convinced that he doesn't remember where he got the number, authorities released the boy back to his parents.
A boy needs a toy at Christmas.
Boy. A boy.
A boy.
Finally, many hookers are probably smarter than we are. In South Africa, one in five prostitutes has a college degree.
That bitch!
Prostitution doesn't just attract poor women. It attracts not-so-poor women who want
to
make more money.
But you're not supposed to spank it. But you're not supposed to spank it. But you're not supposed to spank it.
Even more than they can with their college degree.
But you're not supposed to spank it.
I'm horny, you're horny. Come on, let's go do it.
But you're not supposed to spank it.
And our prayers go out tonight to the nun who's principal at a Catholic school in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Sister Kathy spoke at a recent mass for 5th to 8th graders. She announced a new zero-tolerance policy for cursing. And then, from the altar, she read the entire list of banned words and phrases.
Hot. That's hot, man.
Wow. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No!
Well, on that happy note, we're out of here. We got to go. Does your jacket have a pocket that says, Dopey Guy Pretends to Play Air Guitar?
He's playing the little air guitar. Great little song.
Who plays
don't know
air,
who it is.
Who plays air guitar to the Spinners?
Is there even a... Well, there's a guitar in there.
Sure.
Beep, beep.
You know. All right, we got to go.
Okay.
We got to make it bleed like Brady.
Dark out.
We'll see you tomorrow for the new episode. Good day to you,
good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Ed.
Don, Mike, when you say go, I will drop the jelly beans into the shot glass.
Not the licorice.
No, one at a time.
Watch out, baby. My love.
I love you, Tom.
Tomorrow's promise of no one, Tom. That's why I must have you tonight.
So long.
This is the Don and Mike Show.